This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to Some News. I'm Steve N. Allen, that would be Eric McIlroy.
Hello.
Hello, this is the show that gets some news, picks it apart, but like every net, there has to be some things that you don't successfully manage to catch. Some things slip through the net, some news stories we don't have jokes about include these ones. The new 50 Shades of Grey book was stolen just days before its release. What are you going to do if you catch the culprits? You can't punish them, they'd probably enjoy it.
An airline passenger found a lizard in their in-flight meal. Samuel L. Jackson has bought the movie rights.
Ban on e-cigarettes comes into force in Yorkshire because up there, that's just cigarettes.
The UK winner of the £93 million lottery jackpot has come forward to claim their prize. They were greeted at the lottery office by the finance minister from Greece.
Prince Harry attended a kinky party in Las Vegas, apparently. Although, to be fair, I'm going to defend him here. I have attended one of those. They are a difficult invitation to turn down. I said, I don't think I can make it. I'm kind of tied up. And they said, well, you've got a head start.
Hillary Clinton gave her first major campaign speech this weekend. At the event, one protester claimed the former First Lady was a fraud. He later apologized. He said he had confused her with Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, or both. Child protection officers say we need to do more to combat sexting. If you've never done this is the sex texting. It's where you explain what you would like to do to someone sexually via a text message. If you've never tried it, have a go. It's good fun, and it really gets rid of those PPI people.
Some of them like it. World's first head transplant has been announced. Doctors are very excited. One said if successful, the procedure would blow your mind.
And finally, I apologise for the fact that this is not really like a one-liner joke. But I need to just read the news story. Whilst there is the background effect of, are we cleaning the streets? It's the Some New Show. I know. Let's send a lorry down the flipping road. I don't think that lorry driver's a fan. There we go. Right, I'm going to read out the news story. It was my favourite story. Hello, by the way, producer Amanda.
Hi, good morning.
So this is my favourite news story. I'll get rid of the music. Favourite news story from last week. Mum-to-be Jess Gayford has developed a bizarre craving. She can't stop eating soap. She's pregnant. She's eating soap. Jess, nearly 8 months pregnant with her second child, started with bars and then moved on to liquid soap. She now gets through up to 2 bottles a week. She said, blah, 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 blah. That's my favourite joke of the week. Because no one's harmed in that joke, is it? It's one of them jokes. No one's harmed by it.
You're not even punching up, really, are you? Just not punching.
I'm not punching.
That's good.
I'm lying
like
back.
It.
I'm taking it.
It's too slippery to punch in those circumstances.
Oh.
You can try, though. Look at this. It's producer Amanda.
Hi, morning.
The only person who knows what's happening on this show and indeed is any hope. You are the Sherpa of this mountain.
This is worrying. Radio. Well, talking of mountains.
Okay.
So, big story, obviously, over the last week or so, a group of tourists were arrested in Borneo after they were found to be posing naked on top of a sacred mountain. Bit harsh that they were blamed for killing 18 people in an earthquake. Mm. So, but they've served their time. They're back home. And so...
I'm not getting anything from the way you're saying about where you stand on this issue, whether you're for or against it.
I originally thought, they just thought they were making good memories. But then when you read a bit more into the story and you see that some of them were being quite disrespectful, they were being rude to the guide, they were urinating in a sacred pond.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm kind of not so much... I don't actually think that they... cause the earthquake necessarily.
Okay, yeah. Controversial.
Yeah. But
although I think they were making good memories because 3 days in prison in Malaysia, that's going to stick with you. You're probably going to remember that.
That's good. Yeah. That would at least be an Edinburgh show.
I've been to some Edinburgh shows that feel like you're in prison for 3 days. Heck, I've hosted some.
I've been to some that make me wish I was in prison for 3 days.
Okay, so we've got that to deal with. What else are we dealing with?
So the secret to being happy has been discovered. Phew.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's a good thing, isn't it? Because, it's something that we all crave for, search for, isn't it? So got a psychologist, Dr. Pamela Steele, is going to come on and embellish this story and tell us all how we can be happy. Is there anything particularly that makes you two happy?
I'm going to struggle to answer that one. I think I'm borderline anhedonic at times. So
explain.
Life. Where's the upside? Life is just an array of downsides with small gaps in between. I'm in one of those today.
And it's a happy Monday morning to you, kids.
Just before we started the show, we were just talking about death. Just honestly, we should say this. Our pre-show little pep talk, we talked about death. Worked out that if you live to 90, oh, God, that's ages. So there's no winning that. We either die or you have to go on living. Oh, what's the upside?
Well, hopefully Pamela Steele can make us all kind of see the point in living a little bit more. That's quite a task to take in a 5-minute phone call, but let's see if she can manage
it. I'd like to give a caller a challenge.
We're also going to tackle, I think, probably everybody's favourite story that's been around over the weekend. A lady has, in her infinite wisdom, decided that she was the wrong race, essentially.
Oh. Yeah.
And she's managed to pass herself off as... as a black lady, when in fact she is very much kind of Nordic.
The whitest of the whites.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to find out a bit more about that story, because I think there was a lot about that over the weekend. I don't know if you saw any of the Twitter stuff surrounding Ask Rachel.
I didn't see the Ask Rachel thing trending. I would have been in on that. I would like to know.
Well, I'm sure it's still around. It's still around. So we're going to delve into that a little bit. Bromley Batman.
Bromley what?
The Bromley in Bromley. Bromley has its very own vigilante. So there's a real life Batman in Bromley who is going around fighting the forces of evil.
Is he? Because you know, if you were going to fight evil, you'd go to Bromley. That would be the first place. Where does evil live?
A presenter that we used to work with quite a lot, LBC. He lives in Bromley.
In his podcast, he's back doing the podcast, by the way.
Oh, is
he? Yeah, he's freed up some time. And yeah, he doesn't sound like he's a product of Bromley when you hear him speak.
What does a product of Bromley sound like?
Yeah,
He's posh. He's done a Rachel. He's passing himself off as a non-Bromley person.
But that would be the ultimate disguise if he was the Bromley Batman.
Ooh. Oh my, we've just solved who the Bromley Batman is.
There we go.
Does the description describe him as relatively short, amazing hair and big glasses?
That is the description, yes. Which is a rubbish disguise, considering that's what he actually looks like.
He puts on different glasses, though. Like when Jeremy Beadle used to put a fake beard over his beard. That's how you hide yourself. Hiding in plain sight.
Obviously, we've got a couple of people that have written in during the week with some pretty heavy problems that they need you guys to sort out for them.
Oh, good. We're the people to turn to. If you need cheering up today, I'm the guy.
So we'll see how that works out. And when I've worked out the definitive word, whatever that is, I'll do that at the very end as well.
I love the fact we have a feature and we have no clue what that feature is at all.
I think Sam was the only person who actually knew.
Has he done that thing? I did it once where you leave a job and you just take the job secrets with you so that whoever replaces you. It's great.
Yeah, I've done that. I've gone on holiday and done that. I mean, pining for me to come back.
it's just the nature of the insecurity of being freelance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to make sure you booby trap your replacement. Otherwise, they'll just get someone who charges less.
Well, you've been foiled, Sam.
Yeah.
We're managing just fine.
Well,
in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it sounds like we've got a show. Thank you very much, Amanda. If you could nip out there and have a word with the lorry drivers and tell them just there must be another route round. Who drives a flipping lorry? It's a small road, Eric.
I know. It was very loud.
It was very loud. I know what we're meant to do before we move on to this mighty of shows. I think this is definitely the best show on radio, and I've got no evidence to back that up. I think I'm excited. We're heading into a radio show. I get to ask the question. Anything else? Exciting updates from your life, Eric?
Nope.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.
Yeah, it's my favourite one of all the ones, ripping you a news one. Credit where it's due, that was all Eric McIlroy's work. You see, you can write good puns. So, hello and welcome to Some News, the show where we see what's in the news and see what we can do with it. So, let's head into the first story. I think we should bump this one up the news agenda because people are very, very upset and excited about this. Fears for Foo Fighters, Wembley and Glastonbury shows as band scraps two gigs after frontman Dave Grohl falls off stage and breaks his leg. That's the anxious noise that Foo Fighter fans... Okay, we need new words for this. I'm going to struggle. Foo Fighter fans fear... Stop doing this with the newspapers. Foo Fighter fans fear that next week's London's gig could be cancelled. Foo Fighter frontman, Dave Grohl, broke his leg. Fell off stage. It was a Foo Fighter fall. Foo Fighter frontman had a Foo Fighter fall.
How many Foo Fighters could the Foo Fighter Fall Man fit?
If a woodchuck could chuck wood. Good point. Well made.
I mean, I don't know. Should we do this story now? Because it's hard to cover these. I mean, some news stories just shouldn't be joked about, really.
It's very serious.
I mean, you know, he's in pain.
Mm. Although, apparently, he is on drugs. Which probably helped when he fell off stage.
Explains why he fell off stage.
Yeah. Let's write that down. We'll use that again.
Use that again. Take a note of that. Got it? Okay, good. Writing it down. Good. I mean, the pain of the fans, that's what the real story is, isn't it?
There are some people, I might cry if they cancel, said one. In the Metro, they quoted one person on Twitter, because if you want to go for rational, reasoned thought, Twitter would be the receptacle for this.
Definitely.
At TX, and there's some other letters, so I can't be asked to read it out, said, "If Foo Fighters cancel Wembley, my life will be over!" And I think that's a proportional response.
I think so. I mean, we don't know what kind of life they had to live before this, but if someone they don't know breaking their leg can bring them this close to the edge, maybe they should just go.
Be careful of the edge. If there's one take-home story from this Foo Fighter frontman fall story, careful of edges.
Stay away from the edge.
Mm. So they were playing, I think it was during Monkey Wrench, and he fell off stage. And there is a lovely bit where he still had the microphone with him, because this dude's a pro. Mm. And he said, "I think I've broken my leg. I'm just going to go to hospital and get my leg fixed, and I'll be back." But sure enough, he came back.
Yeah.
And we're sat there on a chair, leg kind of bandaged up, still did some singing. I think there are so many amazing things in there. One is that you can get to hospital and back within a concert. What? That happened in Sweden or somewhere, didn't it? You tried doing that with the British NHS. A&E's like a 9-hour wait. It's going to be a long-ass concert.
Yeah, and in America, he would have spent the whole time filling out paperwork to pay for it. So.
Yeah, and if he was a horse, it'd have shot him. So we've got so many take-home messages. It is difficult to get that much sympathy. I do feel sorry for him. I've never broken a leg. It sounds painful. It's really brave of him to be injured and carry on. Mm. I think that's that whole kind of tis but a flesh wound mentality.
I think it's fair enough to say that he's a true hero.
He's the truest of all the heroes.
I mean, you know, you've got some guys are like, you know, they go to Afghanistan or some stuff like that. I don't know what they do, but they don't keep going like this guy did.
Good point.
I don't know. It's just,
he's a true hero.
He could get knighted for this?
Probably, yeah. Or shot if he was a horse. Either way. The thing is, if you used to be in Nirvana, it's very difficult to get sympathy for any injury, because comparatively, and we all know what I'm saying here, "Oh, I broke my leg." "Oh, did you? Oh, you broke your leg. Oh, I'll tell you what happens to someone you once worked with." And then in comparison, it's not as bad.
So you think that's what helped him get up from it?
It's like, "Oh, don't worry." Have you ever done that? Have you ever injured yourself and carried on?
I thought you were going to say, have I ever
shot yourself?
Myself.
No, I wasn't going to ask that.
Okay. Have I ever injured myself? I have performed stand-up comedy whilst having an episode of an attack of my gout.
That's almost exactly the same. Dave Grohl may be our truest hero, but his sidekick in this world of heroism is definitely
me
you.
Me and my gout.
You stood there and did... Did you actually stand there, or did you sometimes on our Tuesday gig use a stool? Which I have seen you do.
Yeah, but not question. Because of the gout. That was just because I was too fat to stand. The gout, I had to wear sandals once on stage with the gout, which did make me look like a prick. But I told people, I'm not public in sandals on purpose. This is a medical thing. I'm not an asshole.
Are you saying Jesus had gout?
That could explain a lot. I mean, you know, he probably drank a lot of wine.
Mm. Could we write that down? That's good. Yeah.
If you could make wine out of anything, I mean, I know you're not really much of a drinker anymore, but if you could turn water into wine, come on.
I would probably be drinking an awful lot of wine.
Tipple. Yeah. So I'd imagine he had gout.
Well, there we go. We're learning a lot on the show today. I did like the. I like the. You mentioned early on about the phrase. You know, if you go on stage as an actor, people say break a leg, and he actually did. So he's taking things very seriously. I was thinking, in the world of stand-up, though, no one ever says that. When you walk on stage as a stand-up comedian, people often say knock him dead. If he'd have taken that seriously, oh my God, Sweden, it would have been carnage.
Yeah, that would have. I mean, if he fell on them and knocked him dead, broken leg, that would be. That's kind of what you were saying.
Pretty much. So, eats a broken leg. So, have you ever broken any bones?
I have not. I even got hit by a car once. And this is before I was fat, so it didn't bounce off of me. It knocked me into a ditch, and I sprained my arm, but did not break it.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yes, I'd like to think I'm kind of like the Unbroken in that film.
Bruce Willis,
Unbroken. And me. But not Bruce
Unbreakable.
Willis.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. That's
Unbroken's the Angelina Jolie directed film.
Oh, yeah, not that.
That was a bad one to accidentally. Yeah, I'm kind of like that dude who got tortured through the Second World War. Are you really?
What? But if I did get tortured in the Second World War, I wouldn't have any broken bones because I'm unbreakable, unbroken. And yeah, I never broke anything. So there's a challenge to lay down to our listeners.
I thought the challenge was we can try and break some of your bones. Amanda, you broken anything? Oh, she broke your arm.
Oh, and I bet you've broken some hearts.
I've broken some. Although they're not often made of bone, but well done, doctor. I think I've broken my ribs.
Really?
I fell off a mini moto bike. Have I not told you this story?
I don't think so.
Normally, because it's one of the most embarrassing stories I've had to live through, and I tell those stories a lot.
Let's settle in.
Let's go for... Come with me on a journey through time to 2007, 2008. I was a younger version of me, breakfast show presenter in Wiltshire, on Wiltshire's Who Cares What the Hell It Was Called. And there was three of us, and we were doing like, hey, let's do something really wacky. Let's go to this mini moto thing. We'll all get mic'd up. We'll have a little mini moto race. Brum, brum. Now, I hadn't ridden a motorbike ever, but it's not a motorbike. It's a mini one.
Yeah.
I hadn't ridden a bike for about 10 years.
Yeah.
It's no not problem. A bike. Yeah, I thought it was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
I'm large. I'm an oversized gentleman, but I'm also tall, eh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Willy. But I sat on this mini motor. It's tiny. It really, like, I was worried I was going to, you know, reversely ingest the damn thing. And then he said, it's easy to ride. All you do is you turn this one and you'll go off. So I turned it.
Did he make the noise?
He might not have done. That's okay. more a me thing.
Okay.
And here's, I listened back to the audio afterwards. So basically there's me, I drove off for about 10 seconds, fell on my side. And the audio, because I'm all mic'd up, you hear, all right, yeah, I'll get, okay, here we go. I'm all right. And as I stood up, you know when you front it out? Yeah, meant to do it. Then I'd put my elbow into my own ribs. I'd landed on my arm, not my elbows and my ribs. Oh. They're still not level. And, yeah.
Wow, do you still have the audio?
It's probably on some mini disc somewhere. Those are the days.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, there's...
Can we get that as one of the, like, stinger things or whatever they're called?
Stingrays. So
call it
a stingray in radio.
Okay.
Yeah. Or a seahorse. Depends. If you talk over it, it's a seahorse. If you just play it in between songs, it's a stingray.
You're taking the piss out of me.
I love it. Love it.
Can we get that? A bed, but maybe like a story fail, or like when I flub a gag, like Jenner versus Jennings. You can just play that. I'm all right. I'm all right.
And then we were also recording audio of us on some go-kart things. God knows what. Who cares? Anyways, that was a radio feature back in the day. And we were there for an hour. So I was driving around for an hour thinking, this is hurting, but don't let anyone know. And then as I drove back, I noticed I could only use the first, the third, and the fifth gear because I couldn't pull the gear stick back. I could push. Oh, I got some shoulder strength, but nothing happening down there. And then I lay on the bed. Because I didn't have to be awake until early the next morning. Couldn't wake up I couldn't move. I was like, oh, what have I done? And I think they're all set, and I limped in to do some poor-ass radio. Thankfully, that doesn't happen anymore. So do you know what? So we've got arm from a man. I'm going to draw a little body. Let's try and make a skeleton of broken bones.
Right.
There's a skeleton. Well, it might be a stick man. I'm not a doctor, but that's going to go skeleton. So we'll put
fairly human to me.
Amanda gets the broken arms.
Right.
I'm going to draw some ribs.
Yep.
Although there are loads of ribs, so I've broken the middle ones.
Okay.
Oh, Amanda's broken two ribs on you or someone else. Hey. And which side? You're right, your left. Oh, nuts. We're competing for the ribs here, Amanda. All right, well, you'll give you that. You're a woman. You've got an extra rib, haven't you? Yeah, I think that's actually a myth, but you can break that one. Break that one.
I feel like you guys have lived a life I've never...
The rough and tumble of.
Of
radio where you end up breaking ribs.
I don't know why. I'm bouncy, I guess.
You're bouncy. You've broken nothing. I'm drawing a smile on it. If you've broken any bones, we are compiling a broken bone skeleton. Oh, Dave Grohl gets the leg. Dave Grohl.
I'm giving him.
He gets the leg.
Is that the correct leg?
That's a good point. I'll draw the knees in because you've got a couple of extra bones. And then the feet. So if you've broken any bones, let's compile a skeleton of broken listener bones.
Nice.
You can call 0330-223-0200. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. You can email steve@fubarradio.com. It should go without saying that when you tell us the broken bone, give us a bit of a story behind it. Otherwise, this will actually just be a list of bones on the radio. It would be better to have a story.
Yeah.
It's up to you. 0330-223-0200. Tweet at FUBAR Radio. And email steve@fubarradio.com your broken bones. All compiled into a list. And then we'll send you information about if you've been involved in an accident, you could probably make a claim. We should send that to Dave Grohl.
There you go. I mean, he's got witnesses.
Yeah. I get loads of texts about that. I should send him the text. There's some lawyers text me every week saying that there is £3,000 owed to me from an accident I had a few years ago.
Really?
And I don't remember having that accident, which means it must have been a very bad accident, and I blocked it. So, could do with that money. So we'll delve into more news on the way.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Compiling your broken bones, which seems like an odd sentence, but it is what we're doing on 0330-223-0200 and tweet at FUBAR Radio. Also, looking at more news. Benedict Cumberbatch wins CBE over Eddie Redmayne's OBE. Take that, slam! In Queen's birthday honours. Can I just check before we move on, Eric? Were you nominated for anything?
Yes, but not regarding this.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
What were you nominated for?
I'd rather not say.
Eviction from the Big Brother house. And yet you weren't even in it. That is a slam. Yes. To be evicted from the Big Brother house when you're in it is forgetful.
It's kind of like when I was deleted from Wikipedia for being irrelevant.
True as well, isn't it?
That was a low point, yeah. Especially because the guy who deleted me was a Canadian, which is by definition irrelevant.
If you'd like to take issue with that sentence, I believe you can call the international number. Put 44 somewhere in it, and then 0330-223-0200. The attack of the Canadians. That's what's going to happen. Back to the issue of...
Yep.
The honour system, it is one of those things where the honour system actually sounds like just sticking by your word, isn't it? I promise to do something, and you get a flipping OBE from it, which would be great. But it is... I struggle with this. I'm not sure I'm not into... The royal side of things, but then actually it's interesting news stuff because this year lots of, you notice it's quite celebrity based,
yeah,
which means if you want to get an update on that, there is one man to turn to speak celebrity to, and you know how much I enjoy this when we get to speak to my friend who knows about entertainment-y things. It's Larry. Hello. Yep, let's try that on the line that actually works. Yo.
Hey, baby.
So, you are an entertainment news expert.
Sure am.
Which just goes to show a lack of qualifications doesn't hold you back. Give me the info.
This year's honours list has been good for showbiz. Benedict Cumberbatch got a CBE, whatever that is.
Oh, it's Commander of the British Empire.
Really? No offence, but you guys don't have much of an empire left. I mean... What does he command? England, Wales, and like three guys in Scotland?
Well, it's more about the title these days. It's like the knights. They're just called knights. They don't actually sit around a round table and go into battle with swords.
Good. I don't think Van Morrison would last long in a sword fight.
Benedict Cumberbatch is the same age as me, though. Don't you think he's a bit young for this honour? It's hardly like it's a lifetime of work already.
You don't know, Stevie. He could be ill.
Okay, fair play. What else happened?
Lenny Henry is now Sir Lenny Henry.
Now that I respect, because it shows dedication to his ad campaign.
How?
Because now when you see Lenny Henry, you'll think of a knight in a Premier Inn. Thank you. We'll speak to you again on the show at some point.
Okay, toodles.
So that's always nice to speak to Larry. So,
knight in a Premier Inn. Did you just take the rest of the day off after you did that? Or did you think I need to work a little harder?
I thought I need to work harder. I thought that's the kind of pun that if you wrote, I'd tell you off about. But
Yep. That would definitely be one in the pre-show debrief. The look at me with this sort of like,
that doesn't work.
Why couldn't I have gotten one of those Canadian guys?
So as a new, because I mean you're eligible for this. You could. I'm eligible for this as well. My broadcasting career. Here's what really upsets me. Same age as me, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
I have not even got an OBE, let alone a CBE.
Or a CV.
I've not. You're right. I've not even got one of them these days. That's how well my career's going.
Go through a whole list of acronyms.
Do you not think that these honours, I might be in favour of not having them at all. They seem totally pointless. But if you're going to have them, surely they should be given to someone who's actually achieved loads and loads and loads.
Well, Sherlock is very good.
They do 3 episodes per season.
Yeah.
So if it was, if this guy was an American, you did 26 episodes per season. He does 3 seasons of that. That is
a lot of seasons.
Whereas if you do 3 episodes, he gets a CBE for doing 9 shows and a couple of films.
But they were good films. I don't know what he's got it for. I mean, maybe the Queen fancies him. Maybe he's done something for the for her dogs. What are they? What are her little doggies?
Your ability to improv and riff today is amazing. I know you had
a very late night. So, you know, and a preview in a room where they didn't have a sound system that functioned. Which was...
Would you think, would you like to have the honor system scrapped?
No, I like it. I like all the royals and all that stuff. I think it's great. I think it's handy. I think
Why is it handy?
It's quaint. And there's nothing that defines Britain and English people in particular of that Britain element as quaint. And that makes you different. Otherwise, you would the same as the Europeans or the same as the Americans. And this is where you have your weird middle.
Have you been through Bromley? You should go through it. Tell them they're quaint.
I love a bit of that. I feel very safe in Bromley.
Who wouldn't?
And we'll talk about that later.
So it's one of those things where, I don't know, it seems like if you are good in a film, you should win an award, like a Tony or an Oscar. And there's some MP who agrees with this, and I normally don't like agreeing with MPs. But if you if you do a little bit of acting, you should get paid for the film handsomely. Surely, you know what? I would rather, if he wants to swap this title for the amount of money he gets paid, I'll take a slice of that action.
However, where Britain still has a lot of cultural has a lot of influence in the world is culturally for the films and the actors and everything else. So your ambassadors these days, and where the empire in air quotes, I'm doing air quotes. Can you hear? Air quotes.
That's beautiful.
Should do that for air quotes. You still have you punch above your weight when it comes to, you know, the arts and entertainment around the world.
Because we're brilliant, cheers.
And not you. So when I say you, I'm talking about a universal you, not you,
Steve. Some of the internet radio broadcasting that happens right now-ish is some of the best you'll ever hear.
It is.
Thank you.
And beyond that, there's a lot of things that are good.
These people would still be good if they didn't get a CBE for being in a few things.
Why not give them one? And then they get to be Sir Cumberbatch, which is, you know, I mean, considering the disadvantaged background that he clearly has come from.
Well, yes. Him and Eddie Redmayne. If ever there's two people who managed to struggle away from the streets through acting. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch and Eddie Redmayne.
Because, yeah, I, you know, on the estates I first lived in when I moved to the UK, I ran into a lot of Benedict Cumberbatches. And it was a real common name on my estate.
The Cumberbatch gang.
It was an estate in Kensington.
They probably spent an awful lot of the time on an estate, but not like the council estate. One of those, we have acres of land. It's called the estate.
Yep.
Those posh people trying to get down with my street vibe. And then Lenny Henry. Sir Lenny of Henry. What do you reckon?
It's fine. I've met Lenny once. He was all right. Didn't seem to me particularly knightable, but... You know,
Kevin Spacey.
I think he is an American. So, are we allowed?
Oh, we can dish him out all over the shop these days.
You can. I thought there was a rule that you could only get certain level. You can only get certain level of like the thingies.
It's a slightly attenuated version, isn't it?
Yeah, because you can't accept it because.
So that's the big question. If they offered you, I'm going to, no offense, but I'm assuming you'd be offered an OBE. You wouldn't get a CBE. Whose name's above the door on this show? Who's the showbiz? Who's the A? Who's the showbiz? Whose career is?
What you're saying, if this was the show that they took because it's Stephen Allen's.
Yeah, I'm saying if you got an OBE and I only got an OBE, I'd be like, you can shove your OBE up your A B A H. I can't spell it.
A S S.
Good point. But surely, would you turn it down
if they didn't offer you the CBE? Yes. Mm. I make you this vow, Stephen Allen. If I am ever offered an OBE for my work on FUBAR Radio, Some News Live, and you are not offered a higher level award of knighthood, I will turn it down. I make this promise to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we laid that down there. We might as well crack into another story before we move on with any more tunage. So, as much as just a few weeks ago, we did The Naked Show. We talked about a lot of nudity. We presented the show whilst naked. Didn't really mention it because, you know, we're not showy like that. It gets very warm in here. But with the risk of making this another naked show... Canadian, Dutch and German tourists who pose naked at the top of Sacred Mountain blamed by Malaysian government for causing earthquake that killed 16. Wow, so they only spent a little bit of time in prison for the deaths of 16 people. These people should have been serving. This is what's wrong with society today. Murderers get 3 days in prison and then probably let out like half an hour early due to good behavior.
Yeah, it's because they were hot. That's why. Like, oh, sexy people.
So if you've been... I think a lot of people have been following that story mainly because of that, because there was nudity involved. The front pages of the tabloids loved it because the woman from Derby... The main focus has been this woman from Derbyshire. Mm. And, yeah, did you... What's your take on this?
I guess it's sort of... It's another non-story in a way. I mean, it's not...
Hang on. You want me to keep talking? I'll get my jingle. Get the jingle.
We were queued up for this. We're ready. Here we go.
Are you saying it's...
The most pointless news story ever.
Yeah, it's definitely going for the titillating aspects of the news.
Yeah, two of them.
But, I think what is more important, the understory of this is is it appropriate for Westerners to come into a country... Just take off their clothes, run around naked, and like Amanda was saying, it's disrespectful to another culture. And, I guess, but at the same time, a bit of jail time for getting your kid off seems a little bit extreme.
Although they did kill 16 people because they caused an earthquake.
Yeah, but they were Malaysian people.
Oh, God. Call Eric on that one. 0330. If you're Canadian and offended by that joke. I found myself doing a bit of soul searching for this because my normal response straight away is, as soon as anyone is being curtailed in any way due to a religious side of things, I'm like, oh, I'm got to be Mr. Libertarian, step off, don't be restricting. But it's interesting, I found that I have more respect for the word sacred than I do for holy or religious. Mm. When it said sacred ground, I thought, yeah, don't be getting your bits out all over there. Ooh.
So why does that cross the line for you?
Been soul searching on that one, which is odd for someone who's not religious. And yeah,
has no soul.
All reflection in mirrors, which explains the hair.
Would you get naked on the mountaintop?
No, but that's more because of me. Yeah, I wouldn't care about the sacred environment. It might be cold up there.
Right. It would be. It'd be nippy.
Mm, which is not good. A good look for a gent.
Yeah, but the altitude has the opposite.
Is it?
Well. It's not because of the cold. It's just, have you ever been on an airplane and seen like a plastic water bottle get all squished up?
And then get my penis out, yeah?
Yeah, it's the same effect, basically. Okay. Every time I've been on a plane.
I have never measured.
You don't?
Not on a plane.
That's what the Mile High Club's all about.
And indeed the film Snakes on a Plane. So, this is an interesting thing. I thought you can't be arresting people for causing an earthquake. That does speak to quite a backwards understanding of science.
Yeah.
Nudity on a mountain caused an earthquake. No, unless you are massive. You would have to be very large to have a gravitational pull on the tectonic plates. And indeed, because you're on a mountain, you'd have to be heavier. You'd be better off at sea level. If you want to cause an earthquake due to being fat, you need to get closer to the lava and have a magnetic gravitational pull.
Do you think that's why they only got 3 days? It's because they brought in that kind of scientific evidence to curtail the argument that they had caused.
I could have been there if they'd needed me. I would have
flown in.
Yeah. But then it was a little bit cheeky. It is this whole... In the same week when they banned the late night drinking in Magaluf. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't ban late night drinking. They banned the sale of alcohol... No, sorry, the drinking in the streets between 10... at night and 8 in the morning, because they wanted to bring back a family-friendly feel to the holiday destination. So, if you've got a family, why not take them to Magaluf? Because you can then freely walk your young children through the streets about 2 o'clock in the morning without fear of drunken people being out in the streets. They'll be behind one unlocked door. Whee! Family-friendly!
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it is better to stay close to your children when you're on holiday in a foreign country.
Oh. Every week. Then, also, in Magaluf, they banned the sale of alcohol after midnight in shops. And it's just because we tend to go abroad to do this ridiculous activity of drinking or stripping off. It doesn't happen often that we strip off on a mountain, I guess, or you don't hear about it. But it happens an awful lot that you go to parts of Spain and act like a massive beep. But that was just proper interference. I wasn't editing.
Yeah.
But... I'd rather have them go abroad to do it than do it here, because they'll do it at stag do's that we have to play.
Yeah, the gig I was at in London on Saturday, someone threw up while the first act was on.
Wow.
And this is at 9 o'clock at night. So it was a slightly late start to the gig, but at 9 o'clock, you've consumed so much alcohol that your body can no longer accept that alcohol, and you just think... Unless they were trying to, clear their way for more drinking.
Was it just a normal person, or a stag do or a hen do?
It was just a group. It was a group. It was a mixed gender group. So I don't know what they were celebrating.
Okay, good.
Caitlyn Jenner was there, and it was confused.
So I did see a picture of a friend who was on holiday. It was Stansted Airport, and I've been to Stansted Airport, and I'm willing now. I went back there recently, and I'm willing to say it is the worst of all airports.
Really?
Don't even call yourself an airport anymore. They have a drop-off point, right? The free drop-off point, nowhere near the flipping airport. You have to pay to drop people off. Jog on. You're not even a good airport. I'll pay to get near Gatwick. I'll pay to get near Heathrow. You should pay me to come to Stansted. I don't like Stansted. And there was a hen night, you know, hen weekend, queuing to get onto some Ryanair or EasyJet flight somewhere just to, you know, kick off and ruin another foreign country. And all the women, from the picture you could see, they all had written on the back of their T-shirts, "On it till we vomit! Hey! On it till we vomit! Hey!" Delightful. But then one of them in the picture had got some drink to have on the plane, just a bottle of water, so she had a boots bag. And at the moment, the branding on the boots bag have the words, "Feel good." You got mixed messages there, my dear. On it till we vomit, but feel good. Well, you pick a side, because when you get back from that flight, you are not going to feel good.
No.
And you will arrive back in Stansted. On the way, we'll deal with more news.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Hello, I'm Steve N. Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. So after Dave Grohl fell off a stage, broke his leg, he has claimed the broken leg in... And we're right, we do need to work out whether it be the femur, the... tibia or the fibula.
I think it's probably the fibula.
I think he might have broken his fibula. And then when we finish, we're compiling a skeleton of people's injuries, of broken bones. Amanda's got the arm, although we need to find out actually which bone in the arm. You were four. Well, yeah, but you still have the same skeleton. Yeah? That bit. Oh, so your radius or your ulna?
Don't. I don't think we can use that kind of language.
Did you break your ulna?
Not for a young child. Come on, be careful.
The 4-year-old ulna. We'll Google to find out which is more commonly broken. How did you break it? Was it a twisting or an impact? Oh, nuts.
She was punching somebody.
Punching, yeah, four. Aggressive. We get that from him. We get that.
See, this is definitely a feistiness to her that comes, you know.
Which is good, because in the old days of this show, you used to physically threaten Sam every week.
I'm still trying to track him.
And that's why
down.
They had to bring in a flipping black belt. All I'm saying is, you know what, if you wonder if you're difficult to work with in the world of showbiz, when they have to stealthily bring in a bodyguard for me, but don't actually ever address it and mention it, I would say you are difficult to work with.
Well, now that I know you've got a weakness in your ribs...
No, it's a hole. You'd miss it. It's like you go straight through. You'd be like, "Where's really? There were meant to be some ribs there." So I claim the ribs. I've broken my ribs. Amanda's got one of the arm, but the forearm, radius or ulna, it's a big toss up.
Debatable.
And then so there's 206 bones in the human body.
Yeah,
sure. Something like that. Whatever. If you've broken one, you can let us know. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. Graham Pickering. Hello, Graham. I broke my left arm, which was a git, because I'm left-handed. Morning. Thank you, Graham. Oh, if you can get back in touch with, which bone was it? Three to pick from. We'll have a crack at that. Stickers Stickland on Twitter. Broke my left foot. Oh, my left foot. It's a good film. I'm drawing a skeleton that you can fill them in on. At the end of the show, we'll tweet that out. So his left... is this one. So we'll put stickers there.
Is that stage left?
Stage left. Broken foot. If you'd let us know which bone as well. She metatarsals down there, isn't it? Metatarsals. It was on a ladder doing Christmas decorations. Do you know what? The number of people who get injured every year with Christmas, I think we should ban it. You can also get in. You can tweet these and you can call 0330-223-0200. Later on in the show, we hear from Mary, but she's got one for us now. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I believe we'll be speaking to you later on as well. But it's good that you're getting in on the act on this. You get some morning action as well as some afternoon action. Afternoon delight.
Any way I can get it.
Well, yes. So we are putting together an entire skeleton of broken bones. Dave Grohl takes out the leg already. The leg broken. We've got Grohl's leg. Have you broken bones? What can you add to our skeleton?
I have broken a few toes.
A few toes?
And I've broken a rib.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is tricky, though, isn't it? Okay, we need to know which toes.
The big one and the one next to it, and that was actually sort of dumb what I did. I was it was summertime and I was giving my horse a bath. You've heard about my horse, my lovely horse. And I was wearing sandals and everybody always said, "Don't wear sandals when you're giving your horse a bath because bad things can happen." And guess what?
Oh, yeah.
Bad thing happened. He stepped on my foot. He didn't do it on purpose.
Well, you say that. A lot. You say that. You don't know, do you?
I don't really think he did. I don't like to think he did.
Maybe he doesn't like being bathed in public like that. Maybe it's a bit
no,
like...
he loved it. Are you kidding? Horses love it, especially... I was living in California at the time, and it was hot. He was having a time of his life. He just slipped, and he ended up on my foot.
Ouch. So that's taken out the big toe. There, or they metatarsals down there. No, your phalanges. They're at the end of your toe, they're your phalanges, aren't they? Them bones.
There you go. There you go.
So we've got a couple of phalanges knocked out and a rib. Do you know which rib? I don't know. We count ribs.
Oh, geez. It was one of the bottom ones?
Oh, the spare rib on a woman.
Yes.
Which is one of the things you have in common with, I was going to say pigs, but that's... Seems like that's going to go wrong. So we've got a rib. I'm drawing the skeleton now. There's a rib taken out, and there's a couple of phalanges down the bottom. Dave Grohl's leg. Beautiful. This is like a game of hangman, and no one's going to win.
You know what my injuries have in common?
What?
There is nothing they can do for either one.
Oh.
They wrap up your toes, and they say, good luck. They wrap up your rib, and they say, good luck. There's nothing you can do except suffer and hurt. That's all you can do.
Well, you're right. So, actually, if anyone wants to go out and break some bones to join in on the show, do those ones, because that way you don't cost the NHS anything.
No cast required.
Beautiful. Thanks.
Limp around and get sympathy.
Yes, excellent. Thanks very much for your bone update.
You're welcome. Do you really have to call it that? Oh,
it did
great.
Sound wrong, didn't it? That's a good point. So she's a bone update. Yeah, let's not title it that, otherwise the show's going to take the usual direction it always does.
What about Boner Watch?
Boner Watch. Boner Watch. Boner Watch. Although that's what you do on a plane, is what we've heard.
Shrinkage.
Mary claims the toes and one of the ribs. Quite a lot of the ribs are going, but there's loads of ribs to go. This is what I like about the human body.
It's like 100 ribs in the human body.
I think that's right. I think there are 100 ribs.
Yeah.
At least. If you've broken a bone, you can let us know. Tweet at FUBAR Radio.
I think because we touched on this as one of the headlines from the now people are going to, there's going to be the first head transplant ever done. And maybe if your bone was this, a body was this badly boned, then that would be, that's a easy solution. But because basically what's going to happen is this guy's going to have his head because has got, the story I didn't find out what was not quite.
Something's not right.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
So he decided, you know what? But the head's good.
Mm-hmm.
Going to swap heads with a body donor body.
Yep.
Take the head off. Put the head on a new body.
Yep.
Connect it up. Boom. Ready to go. We could live forever.
Well,
we just need a source of fresh bodies.
And I'm sure you can get that these days. You grow them on a farm. There's no stem cells. You're allowed to do anything.
Yeah. And I mean, as long as they were organically sourced.
Yeah.
I think that's
I have two issues with this story. One is all the newspapers calling it head transplant, the world's first head transplant. It's a body transplant, you idiot. Yeah. You get the same, because head transplant, you know, you think, oh, I've got a ruined head, I need a new head. You got a new head. You are stuffed, my friend.
I guess you could do a swap if you wanted to swap. What? You could swap head. What could you do?
No, don't overthink it, because you're definitely not going to solve this one. They put your head on a different body. But it does mean, okay, if you use that to live together, live forever, your body will end up being rejuvenated every time you have an operation. But the head's just going to keep getting older and older and older.
Oh, so you have this really wrinkly face with, like, fit.
And let's be honest, no one's going to sleep with you until they've had about 4 pints. Because that is what happens with old face, young body. Is that right? What's the Cronenberg one?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know, it's a slang term. It was in Viz. Not that I used to read it, because I used to read it. Just try and get jokes in it. The 1664. They look 16 from behind, 64 from the front.
Eventually, I'm still on this.
Okay.
You could take the brain out completely.
I love the fact that you've done you've actually drawn a diagram of what a head transplant is going to look like.
Yeah.
So and what are your medical qualifications again?
Well, you would open up the brain like, you know, with a can opener.
Well avoided, thing, yeah.
And then just take the brain out. That way your face stays fresh. Because that would be important. You'd want a fresh face.
So a brain transplant.
I think we need to brain transplant. Can we copyright
that? Do you know what? That is my favorite sentence I've ever heard. We need to brain transplant. That, and you've somehow proved your own point beyond any doubt. right there. I don't even know what the question is, but you can call 0330-223-0200 and tweet at FUBAR Radio. More news on the way.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Allen. That's Eric McIlroy talking broken bones on the show today, but also this news story.
Researchers say they've cracked... I don't know what word that was.
Should we take that one again? And also this news story. Don't mess it up, McIlroy. Go for it.
Researchers say they've cracked the code to being happy. Are you happy? Do you know how to be happy? After decades of studying and working with tens of thousands of patients, researchers at the Mayo Clinic say they've cracked the code to being happy.
Well, this is good because everyone wants to be happy, one would imagine. But then again, I can't speak to this as I am no expert. I'm not trained in the ways of the mind. And also, I'm from the north, so I'm naturally miserable. This is not my wheelhouse. Thankfully, we're joined on the line by someone who can help us out, an expert, Dr. Pamela Steele. Let's go for this. Consulting... No, that's a dog. We got the wrong line. Yes, it sounds. You're a psychologist and you've got a dog. Let me assume it's not allowed on the couch. Did that old joke. Thank you. Consulting psychologist from Crisis Advice, Dr. Pamela Steele. Hello.
Hello, how are you? Is that Steve or Eric?
This one's Steve. The slightly Americanized version is Eric.
Oh, okay.
You're about to tell us.
So I'm not miserable, and I come from Yorkshire, so don't say things like that.
So is the key to being happy, being from the north, but then not sounding like it at all so you can get a proper job?
Maybe. Who knows what the key to being is? There's so many different aspects of that. They've cracked it, everyone's cracked it, but the fact is that they're talking about being it by positive thinking, not thinking about all the stuff that we could have and we don't want. That's my dog, by the way. So that's one aspect of it. But there's chemistry, there's the way you think, there's the way you behave, there's all sorts of being in love, But actually, I think one of the most important aspects, which I'm pleased to be on this program with, is laughter. Laughter is the key to happiness.
Why does that make us happy? Because sometimes laughter can feel like a short buzz, like you laugh for 10 seconds, you're happy for 10 seconds, and then the harsh, stark reality of existence comes flooding back in.
Well, I'm an expert in terms of talking about resilience and how to improve your happiness and your well-being. And one of the things I make sure that I talk about is laughter, because laughter it's not short term at all. It's equivalent to an exercise, a moderate exercise. It produces endorphins, and just so it has a lasting effect and just generally good for you. And I don't think any of us laugh enough. That's the ridiculous thing. So
many audiences that I've performed to do not laugh enough. I will give you that.
So do you think?
But laughter is incredible.
That's a plus side I didn't realize we were going to get today, because we're both stand-up comedians. So are you saying you could prescribe people coming to our shows?
Absolutely, prescribe people coming to your shows, and it not only does that, it increases your I call your happy chems, which are your chemicals, like, and improves things against getting, what are they called? I can't remember what they call it. Against getting coughs and colds and everything like that. Your immune system.
If only there was a doctor on the line, we could ask.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it's your immune system. But, laughter is just the most amazing way. Obviously, there's loads of other things. You can either get it right by taking pills, but I believe in sort of a very, very active life. Yeah, I think it's really important to think positively. Having lovely barking dogs around, being like I am at the moment, sitting by a babbling brook, would you believe, in the heart of Devon. It's about doing, being more authentic and doing what you want to do, as well as obviously having to make a buck and things like that. But it's there's so many different things. You can't just say you've cracked it from one aspect of it. But positive thinking is a really important thing.
So, and they're going on about positive thinking. Have they cracked one side of it then? I'm just about to describe it as, there are different routes to scale a mountain.
Yes, absolutely.
Have they discovered a south face? Yeah.
absolutely. We talk about all the different routes. Being active is a huge one. Positive, you know, they say you have 64,000 thoughts a day. You can make those all negative if you want, and a lot of them are repeated. So you can either do that, or you can decide that you're going to make them, you know, positive. And they, every time you have a positive thought or a challenge or... you know, or something that we can achieve, something we can laugh about, then that is, you know, goes towards your sort of producing your endorphins or your happy chemicals. So it's another route up the you know, up the side of the building, as it were.
So can I pick one or the other? So I'd assume I laugh a lot because, you know, I mess around with other comedians. We have a laugh. Does that mean you said it was like an exercise? So firstly, I don't have to go to the gym, and then secondly, I don't have to be positive thinking.
Well, moderate. Moderate. Yeah, well, you know, think of it like a balance sheet, okay? So if you're thinking of it like a balance sheet, you've got all the laughter, you've got activity, you've got being with people you love, doing things you're passionate about, all of those things that is on the plus side of your balance sheet, okay? And then you've got, if you want to be a miserable or negative thinker or whatever else, you don't have to be miserable. But if you want to be have negative thoughts, that's fine. As long as, but think about your balance sheet, because one's going to pull you down, and the other one's going to lift you up. So if, for instance, you're really, really positive, and not positive, but if you're active and you're laughing and everything like that, then, yeah, you can have a few negative thoughts because, you know, you've still got loads of credit in your balance sheet.
That is the best news I've
heard. That's why I try and tell people to do that. So you can be, but being yourself, whether that's negative, whether it's Yorkshire, whether it's North, whether it's whatever, is singularly, I think, the thing that cracks happiness. Because and so if you want to have a little bit of a whine and a moan, why not? It's good fun sometimes, isn't it?
So surely you're not like that, though. I mean, you are an expert in this happiness. You're near a babbling brook, and also a dog that's probably having some sort of a seizure. So
my dog is in the middle of the babbling brook.
Well, then no wonder it was barking. I think exactly. I don't speak dog, but I think I know what it's trying to say.
He's
so,
not quite dying yet.
Oh, well, that's...
Oh, he's now bringing me a boat, bringing me a great big bit of wood. But anyway, go on.
He's trying to build a raft.
Sun,
he's trying to build a raft.
Sun
is what's
another one.
Fun.
Being out in the sun.
Oh,
sun.
The sun. Oh, the sun. Why?
Sun.
How does the sun help?
The sun, because you're getting vitamin D, you're happy when you're out in the sun, you know, you're enjoying life. So that's another key element.
That's probably one of the things you're missing living up north, is seeing the sun.
We didn't
you really
the
get
sun.
That very much up there.
Well, I did actually decide to move down south, so is that,
And that made you happier.
That's bad news, isn't
it? Did you know, have you got a minute? Did you know, did you know that people who live, they call them the blue zone countries, and they happen to be sunny, but there's lots of other aspects to it. People who live in the sun, eat healthily, generally do what they feel that they want to do, be active, they actually live 10 years longer than anyone else in the rest of the world.
So which one's the... what's this blue zone?
Well, they're, admittedly, they're places that are rather nice, like Greece or there's Costa Rica or... where is it? Italy, different parts of the world. So you've got some lovely parts of the world where you do that, but it's this general sort of combination of sun, beautiful diet, loads of activity, carrying on until you're 90, being healthy, being active. And if you want to do that, then you can live till you're 95. Would you like to do that?
Well, I can barely carry on at my age, but, you know, with my bad back, but I'll give it a go. So you say people live longer in Greece. I think we've just solved why they've got problems
certain
over there financially.
Parts, they usually... No, we're not talking about necessarily Athens. We're talking about little islands that might be. It's a place called Icaria, I think, in Greece. But it's generally, they're fishing, you know, they may be farming, fishing communities. They're in the sea, beautiful sunshine, eating the healthiest sort of lovely green, you know, sort of fresh foods. Those are the sorts of things. Having a common aim in life. You know, it's that's why you can't possibly say, oh, we've cracked it. It's just about, you know, sort of, being a master of your thoughts. It is one way, like you say, to climb that amazing building to happiness, you know, but it's there's so many other aspects to it. Right.
They'd have to live longer in Greece to pay back all those debts. So that could be
you
why.
You don't have to.
There are pensions,
right?
Now, the people in Greece, he was trying to, he was saying that they, if they live longer, they could pay out the debts, but they're a pension drain. Living longer. This is a problem for the world, that's isn't true. It? We're all living longer. Well, what we actually need to be is less happy so we can cark it earlier and sort out the pension issue.
That wouldn't,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I used to work on that one. I'm the other way around.
Okay. This is probably why the government...
You'd have more people to listen to your programme if there were more people around.
Oh, that's a good... Oh, now you know how to get me.
This put me with an unhappy conundrum.
All these wonderful, happy OAPs that are sitting there saying, what shall I listen to? I'll listen to Eric and Steve.
We're very good. We get the grey vote. You're quite right. Statistically, lots of pensioners who can't get to the radio are the ones who listen. It's amazing. We show up in the stats. So, thank you very much for joining us. You spoke about laughter, but your book gives us three things, doesn't it? What's the title?
Live, Love, Laugh.
Live,
Love, Laugh.
Right.
And it is. It's definitely about that. But I'd say, first and foremost, did you know that children laugh hundreds of times a day? When you get to be adults, after you've hit the wonderful reality of life, you'd be lucky if most adults, particularly in their working days, laugh more than about 15 times a day. Isn't that crazy? So I tend to say, I tell you what, in the middle of doing your work, get up, go somewhere else, get onto YouTube and find yourself a funny clip. And I'm telling you, this is big, serious organisations I'm telling you to. Go and find a funny clip, 5 minutes of that, and you'll be raring to go for the rest of the day.
I love that you're telling people in big organisations to spend more time on YouTube. No, although you're quite right.
Well, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, yeah. That's all it takes, and you're re-energised and ready to go.
There is a video.
No, I don't know what... You'll have to tell them your podcast or whatever it is. What is your podcast? And I'll tell them when I go on my training next.
Tell them to search for Some News in iTunes and they will definitely find this podcast.
Some News in iTunes. Yeah. Listen to Steve and Eric and then that'll make their day, obviously. Anyone would think I was your marketing person.
Needs to be, yeah. Although I must admit, even though I enjoy this show and I enjoy the podcast, there is a clip I've seen on YouTube of a fitness instructor doing yoga and moves and trumps. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I love the one with the dog. There's a dog a bit similar to mine, and the guy's got a hoodie, right? Yeah. And the dog's got the hoodie on, and the guy's put his hands there, and he's eating. Look for that one, dog eating hamburger or something like that. And it's absolutely hilarious. There's loads of different ones. There's babies laughing. There's, all sorts of pets. Weird ones and everything like that. So there is so many. And the other one, obviously, there's loads of what they call laughter yoga, which a lot of people cringe at, but it's okay.
As long as someone's trumping, I will enjoy the clip. Listen, Dr. Exactly. Pamela Steele, thank you very much for joining us and giving us the info on how to be happy.
Yeah, and keep people laughing.
Yeah, and go and sort out your dog by the sounds of it. Thank you very much.
I'm going up for the rest of the walk. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Bye.
So is that good news for you? Have you enjoyed that?
Well, I mean, prescribing laughter is good. But, yeah. I mean, of course, the end result of the first place that people go to is they think, well, should we listen to a comedian who's crafted jokes or worked on a podcast or written material or dedicated their life to writing jokes? Or should we just look at a dog in a hoodie? And then you want to kill yourself.
Okay. But it doesn't matter having that negative thought. So one thing I've just learned from Dr. Pamela Steele is that if you are, as long as you have laughter, then you can have miserable thoughts. Do you know what? Let's do it. All right. So seeing as we both laugh quite a lot, let's make a list of miserable thoughts. I'll go first. The fact that the housing market means it's going to be very difficult to actually have a place to live. Your go.
The fact that my diet means I still can't eat the food I want or drink the drinks I want to drink.
I have a bad back and I can't go to a doctor's because I've not registered and at the moment don't really have a place to live and therefore can't register at a doctor.
I think Greece has more money than I do.
What else is miserable about life? Having to deal with people on the tube who are just massive knobs.
Having to do previews where people don't have an adequate sound system to be able to do the show and people end up covering their ears for half of your hour. You've driven for 2 hours to get there and now you have to get back 2 hours to get back because then you're going to get home at 1 a.m. when you have to be up at 6 to be on this radio show.
Living under a Tory government.
them.
Mine was quicker than yours. It's weird, isn't it? There you go. But it doesn't matter that we're that miserable, because it's all right, because we'll be having a laugh later on in the show. Really?
Really.
Okay.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Podcast listeners will not be aware of the fact that we've just played Foo Fighters, but we just played Food Fight. Oh, man. I knew I was going to struggle.
I'm not the only one. That makes me happy.
Oh, well, there you go. We found what makes people happy. The suffering of others.
Yes, your failure makes me happy.
Beautiful. Luckily, you should be cock-a-hoop. So we were talking earlier on, for Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters, fell off the stage, did his leg in. That means he's on the list. Even though we're compiling a list of broken bones from listeners, he gets the broken leg because he listens every week. I don't know if you know this about Dave Grohl. One of the things, which is an unproven fact, is that he listens every week. Fingers crossed.
I was going to say you guys are tight.
Oh,
that's what that means.
Yeah, we're
you're like two fingers crossed.
We're BBFs.
BFFs.
Oh yeah, that's the.
What is BBF?
That's the large people.
That's a fetish website, I think.
Yeah. Whoops. So you can get in touch with your broken bones. We're compiling a list of broken bones. If you want to get in touch on this one, you can tweet them through at FUBAR Radio, and you can give us a call as well. We go to the Southwest. Keith, what's the thing? The bone that you've broken.
Collarbone.
Oh, your clavicle, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one of the weird ones. It stops your arm working, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Can we ask how you managed to break your collarbone?
I was off work, and I played football, which I wasn't supposed to do because I was off work ill.
Hello, benefits cheat. Yep.
Yeah. And I was on the pitch for 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And a tackle come in, he lifted me right up in the air, and I thought I broke my neck.
Oh, but it's just But I suppose serves you right. If you claimed to be off work due to illness, thank you very much. We'll put you down as Keith claims the clavicle. I've not drawn a clavicle on me thing, on me little skeleton diagram.
Do you know how to draw?
No, not at all. Okay. When I tweet this later on, it will be banned for being, although technically there is nudity in it, but it will be banned for being the worst pitch you've ever seen. Keith claims the clavicle. If you'd like to claim a broken bone for our listeners, Broken Bone Skellington, 0330 223 0200. 11 seconds on the pitch. Had his collarbone broken by someone's tackle.
That's longer than I would last.
Well, eh? Right, into the next news.
Woman accused of misrepresenting herself as black.
Oh, best story of the week, isn't it?
In the United States. Rachel Dolezal.
I've heard it said on the radio as Dolezal.
Sounds ethnic. Is president of the Spokane, Washington, my home state, but the other side, it's the hick side of the state, chapter of the NAACP, do you know what the NAACP stands for?
I was going to have a guess, and I would be ill-advised to guess.
Well, I know it's... Association of the Advancement of Colored Peoples. That's what it is. So it is specifically meant to represent the issues of African Americans, and it was branded when they still said Colored Peoples, but they just called it NAACP now. But
if it was called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples. Of Afro-America... I mean...
That'd be the NAA.
And then it would look Swedish, which takes us back to this woman.
I'm glad we're staying on the story. Because, it's awkward for us to talk about this.
Not to show behind the curtain of showbiz too much, but I didn't pick this as a story this week, thinking it would be awkward for us to talk about it.
Yeah, but see, what you didn't realize is that I look white, but I'm actually, I self-identify
Brilliant.
As an Asian American of... Puerto Rican descent.
Wow, why not?
Why not? Because you know what? Race is not determined by your ancestry. Race is a state of mind.
Okay.
And I have always felt closely identified with other peoples.
Specifically the Inuit, which is odd.
Yeah, the Inuit? Inuit? But the thing, so basically what she's done is she's the president of this local chapter of an African-American group. And she if you find pictures of her, she has presented herself as if she's an African-American for most of her adult life. However, her parents, whatever they would know about this, have claimed that they are white. That's what they're claiming. No one's proved this yet. And that she is actually white. And they've produced pictures of her looking pretty ass white. I mean,
I guess you
blonde
shouldn't.
Hair and stuff.
Well,
which, you know, again, doesn't mean anything.
The hair is the issue, isn't it? Hair seems to be the angle that everyone's gone for. Because in everything else about the way that she's portrayed herself could be seen as a lie of omission, of just not actually saying things. People have assumed you go along with it. But she has done her hair in a way to achieve a specific look.
And well, look at that. It's... Yes, it's she's gotten a perm, basically.
Yep.
And she's colored her hair.
Do you know what? There's a proper serious point here, is that why... Okay, maybe she has some personal mental issues that means that she feels the need to identify with a group that she doesn't belong, or rather she wishes to disidentify with the group that she belongs to. I mean, just that's a long way of saying white guilt, fair enough. But the issue should be, why is it that you can't be the defender of civil liberties and still be white?
Well, some people make the case that you can't, you can't. Well, I mean, you have to have that experience as your own experience in order to be able to make it relatable and then be there for the advancement of the group of people. But, I mean, there's a tradition of this in America. I mean, in 1958, there was a book called Black Like Me, where a guy basically did a shortened version of what Rachel's done, and he took he augmented his skin, he changed his hair, and he went around the Deep South in the early 1960s as a black man. And he was very much a white man. They made a film about it and everything else. And so maybe she took her inspiration from that. I don't know. I mean,
it's not the first time in the world of art where there have been cases of, I'm not sure what the way to describe this, it would be attributing yourself to an ethnic background which you don't technically belong.
Right.
There was, of course, there was a film that you pointed out.
Yeah, there was a film.
This is
have a little clip
Steve
of that.
Martin, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the film?
The film was called The Jerk.
Ah, and this is when he said,
I was born a poor black child.
Good point, well made, and did well, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, who's denying that he wasn't?
Well,
I mean, who's saying? Yeah. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that. He could have led the local chapter of his Double NBA.
And then, have you seen the film Soul Man?
Not for many years. I'd forgotten about the film Soul Man. Mm. But, I mean, it does... It feels like it might be from a different era now.
You would not make this film now. If it came out, it would not be allowed.
Unless you lived in Spokane, Washington. And it's not Spokane, which some news reports have said it's Spokane. Just to clarify.
Because that's the issue. That's the big thing. How
I think
dare
that's
they?
Our big takeaway from this, is to make sure you say Spokane right.
So the Internet Movie Database describes the 1986 film Soul Man as... I'll do the... This is the storyline.
Can you do it in the voice?
In well, I'm trying to think what kind of a
movie voice could you
I only do the scary one, the kind of like from the makers of Spawn.
Well, I think this film is sort of scary now.
In order to win a scholarship, Mark Watson, the white son of an affluent psychiatrist, probably the woman we had on the phone, pretends to be black on his application form. He's I can't be bothered to do it. He alters his hair, skin, and speech. Oh, that's the one that takes it too far, isn't it?
Yeah.
To conceal his true identity. And this is a film that was like made and put on videos and things.
Yep.
At first, Mark believes that he's going through law school as a minority, that it will be a breeze, but he soon begins to experience racism. In the 80s, are you sure? Eventually, Mark falls in love with Sarah Walker, a black student, and begins to feel guilty about his ruse. Only then. He feel guilty about taking scholarship money.
Considering he comes from a wealthy family, and the only reason he needs money is because his dad's cut him off.
That film scores 5.1 out of 10 on the Internet Movie Database and 14% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
It's a great film. I heartily recommend it. We've got the trailer. Let's play. We can't play. I don't think we can play all, even in the great world of uncensored radio. If you find the trailer on YouTube, there's a bit which I think it shouldn't be in a film, let alone in a trailer. And certainly I ain't going to broadcast it on a radio station. But here's bits of the trailer.
Harvard Law School.
Yeah! Yeah!
Tuition and fees. $10,493.
It's going to cost him a lot.
Harvard Law School. This is a big day for all of us. That's why I've decided to let you pay your own way.
That's his dad.
Estimated annual living expenses. You ever applied for a loan before?
Try tuition fees.
$7,500.
Mr. Watson, you don't pay your bills.
Nick Clegg's fault.
Total for 3 years of law school.
Wait
a second, look at this. Full tuition for the most qualified applicant.
Most qualified black applicant.
$53,979.
What are you going to do? What's your only option?
Reacting?
Yep.
No.
Congratulations, Mr. Watson.
Now, at that point in the thing, you should see what he looks like, but obviously we can't show that, but yeah. And then, this is, I didn't realise this was in the film, but here's a little clip from the trailer. This bit, I think, really speaks to how times were different then.
Congratulations, Mr. Watson.
Thank you, sir. I'll do my best.
Some people do anything to get into Harvard.
Oh, it's gonna be great! These are the 80s, man! It's the Cosby decade!
But Mark Watson...
Whoa, wait a minute. It's the Cosby decade.
So now we know how he got that girlfriend.
Okay, leaving it there. If you would like to get in touch with the topics, you can. You can call 0330-223-0200 Broken Bones and tweet at FUBAR Radio.
Some news with Stephen Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.
Hello, I'm Stephen Allen. That is Eric McIlroy. And this is Some News, the show that takes some news and does what we do with it. Now, a lot of people have accused us of picking stories that might be somewhat light, somewhat frivolous.
What?
But I think it's one of those shows where it's great that we can mix the serious stories with the light. So we've had the light ones earlier on about, I don't know, maybe we mentioned Syria. This is the serious story. Bromley Batman. Two more witnesses emerge who claim they've spotted the masked vigilante. Turns out there is a Batman in Bromley. Two more people have come forward with information about the Bromley Batman, claiming that they've seen the vigilante in action in recent months. And so it's good to know that there is a Batman figure in the Bromley area fighting the crime.
Yep.
And so far, I mean, we all know that it's the two things to look for. The police have no idea whether this person even exists. They said they've not heard things. They've not managed to work out who this person is.
Really?
I think you can narrow your search parameters, because if he is a superhero, a Batman, if you will, then we know he will be an orphan.
Yep.
That's you can look that up. That's probably on the internet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he'll be a billionaire, so we know that he doesn't actually live in Bromley. So, have you been to Bromley?
I don't think I've been to Bromley. I don't know if I've done the gig. It's
a bit rough.
I mean, I wonder if maybe. I mean, what do you think would be sponsored? What would make someone want to be a vigilante? I mean, because
if you live in Bromley, I guess there's an awful lot of crime, and you think, I've had enough. I have certain skills. I have going Liam Neeson there. I have certain skills that he can use. And you see a lot of people getting mugged or whatever, maybe you want to step in. So this master vigilante apparently swooped into action on Monday night, which was last Monday, in Bromley Town Centre, saving a middle-aged businessman. And do you know what? If there's one group that does not get defended enough, middle-aged businessman from a group of thugs who were trying to rob him at knife point. It's pretty serious.
Do they still have thugs? You still use that term.
In Bromley, yeah. Now two more people have come forward purporting... saying that they have seen this mystery hero in action, one in nearby Penge, another one in Lewisham, a few miles away.
That's how these things start. I mean, there have been a flurry of these shows. I mean, it's not just, it's moved beyond the films now, and they've got The Arrow, got The Flash.
Yeah.
They're going to have the joint venture of the. Future.
Just your ability to speak is amazing on today's show. The future of the League of the Future, what?
Articulation is key.
Justice League.
The success of my words.
Justice League?
No, it's not the Justice League. It's DC Comics version of the future heroes of tomorrow or some.
Justice League were DC Comics, though, aren't they?
No, but it's Avengers not Justice League. Hold on. I'll Google it.
Hello and welcome to Off Topic with Eric McIlroy. Watch him go. Why you Google that? I'll do my bit, shall I?
Yeah.
So I think with having that, it's a 6 foot guy who goes where he was over 6 foot. Apparently, he knows some kind of karate because someone said that they saw him do a ninja hold on one of the ruffians. So he's got some skills. Maybe he's like Daredevil, I think, is a more appropriate one. He just dresses up, he covers his face. Daredevil covers his face because you didn't need to see, so that's a good point. What, you've done Googling?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Ah, Legends of Tomorrow.
That's the one. That's coming. So there's more vigilantes. And so all of this vigilante stuff makes you think maybe I could get on TV.
Do you know what? I think this is probably our way forwards. As you know, I like to put the word writer in my CV. No reason to do it, but I put it on, I describe myself as that whenever I'm introduced. And that means I can right now write a film. I was thinking of film. Maybe you're right. We should do some sort of internet version of this.
Yeah.
The Bromley Batman is a story. Let me pitch it to you. Here's what I've got so far. Here we are. Exterior, Bromley Town Centre. A drunk throws up the kebab that he's just swallowed. The camera pans to a group of women surrounding one central woman who sat on the floor crying. We hear, "I know he's banged my sister, but I love him, Kelly." The camera then pans to a couple walking in the pedestrianised area, the one that's near the theatre, the only bit that anyone knows if you've been near there as a stand-up comedian. Suddenly, as they walk down the little pedestrianised bit from an alleyway, a thug jumps out and says,
"Wallet,"
says the assailant.
Splutters the nervous man.
"Just give it to him,"
says his Primark-wearing partner. Then, from a distance, we hear,
"Oi, oi!
What is?"
asks the mugger.
"Leave it out, you toilet. Stop mugging and jog on,"
we hear from a tall man dressed all in black. The nervous man says,
"But who are you?"
"I'm only the Bromley Batman, ain't I?
You tart."
"Leave now," the robber says as he goes to hit the Batman, but he moves to the side and trips the mugger. He stumbles and runs off.
"Yeah, take that, you muffet, coming over here. It's what I vote you, Kip, innit?"
"Oh, thank you so much."
"Well, that's all right, Treacle. I'm the Bromley Batman, ain't I? Wherever there is trouble, I'll be there."
"But this is Bromley, so that's everywhere."
"Well, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Stay lucky! Oi, oi!"
And then the credits start. That's my idea for the intro to the film.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Sounds good. I guess, yeah, so you don't think there's any billionaires living in Bromley? I mean, does that make this story not possible then, do you think?
Well, I think he's the South London superhero, so you have that cheeky attitude. Mm.
So it's not Richard Branson. He hasn't moved to Bromley.
Oh, my God. He's just a
billionaire. Yeah. I don't know if he has parents still alive. What would he call him? He wouldn't call himself Batman. Would he be like Super Virgin?
He'd brand it Virgin.
But like Super Virgin, I've got my extra strong hymen. And he would come in with his hymen.
Whoa, where
shield.
Did that come from?
What the hell is...
Well, what? It came from where he keeps it.
Oh, so you actually think that's where his superpower is? So
not a like superpower, he's got a shield.
He's like Captain America.
It's like a gigantic... Hyman.
Yeah, okay.
And then you fire, and he's got his arch nemesis, Sperminator. I'm just making this up.
Really?
Are we writing it down?
His arch nemesis for one season will be the Sperminator, but then also there'll be season two, you need a nemesis. That would be Tampon. And I believe horse riding could also be.
You're bringing it. If you're going to bring the topics, I'm going to.
You took that to a much.
Oh, I took it too
level.
Far.
You Mr. took it too far. Horse riding.
What? How is that any worse than Super
Virgin
with his massive hymen?
If anybody complains, we can just say that was done to induce laughter, which was medically prescribed to us, okay? So that joke was inappropriate, I've got a doctor's note.
Although, just to point out, when someone goes, "Well, I didn't laugh." Yeah, well, this is the placebo. You would eat, you're in a blind taste test. This is how it works. We'll delve into more news on the way.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning, hello, I am Stephen Allen, that is Eric McIlroy on some news, dealing with things that's in the news. Like, for example, Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters breaks his leg, which places him on I've redrawn it out now, some newser's skeleton of listeners' broken bones.
Oh, nice.
And I've added more, because the stick diagram didn't have all the bones on it.
Oh, well,
it's weird, isn't it?
Sticks. More than that.
So if you'd like to be on here for things that you have broken, Keith has got the collarbone, Graham's got the arm, Amanda's got the forearm, Amanda's also got some ribs, we're sharing a lot of ribs out, me and Mary. Mary's also got toes, phalanges. Dave Grohl's got the leg, and then Stickers has got, was he a foot, wasn't he? He was at least a foot. If you would like to add to this, you could give us a call on 0330 223 0200. It's Phil in Aldershot. What's the thing you've broken?
Only my wrist when I was in a motorbike accident years ago.
You say only your wrist, but that sounds very painful. Which wrist was it, left or right?
It was the left. I thought the right handed, so I wasn't. It was painful. It was inconvenient. I had my arm in a sling for most of the summer.
Yeah, but as you say, your right hand. You still had your sword hand available, so
yeah.
If it all kicked off, you were fine.
Mm-hmm. I could still exercise my right arm. Enjoy a pint.
Oh, pint. Whew, I wonder where you were going with that one. Right, we'll add that to the list.
Okay.
Cheers, buddy. Right, on to the next story. Have you got it, Mr. McIlroy?
Yes, I do. Cartier boss with a $7.5 billion fortune says the prospect of the poor rising up keeps him awake at night.
Oh.
I would struggle. He's a multi-billionaire owner of the luxury jewelry company Cartier, and he's revealed his greatest fear is robots replacing workers and the poor rising up to bring down the rich.
That's great. So his fear isn't the fact that the workers get replaced. His fear is that the workers get upset when they are replaced by robots.
Yeah. I think he's watched World War Z too many times, because only to him it's not zombies attacking. It's just normal people who might as well be dead as far as he's concerned.
So he fears the poor. But he's so rich. What was it, 75?
7.5 billion dollars.
Wowzers. Then so, surely he could maybe spend 1.5 of those billion on a massive defense system around his fancy pants big house.
I bet he probably is doing, probably building that as a lair. I bet he's got a lair. You got that much money, you can have a lair.
And a little cat that he can stroke.
And maybe at night you would think, I need to do something for the people of Bromley. We found the Bromley Batman. It's this dude. What's his name?
The Cartier it's boss.
Cartier boss.
Are you... I mean, that actually, as much as I was going to poo-poo your idea, because that's often what I feel like doing, I think you might be onto something. Because if I were the Bromley Batman,
yep.
Cartier boss owner by day, mild-mannered billionaire jewellery firm owner by day, Bromley thug by night, I would think I need to throw people off. Because
exactly.
Right.
What could be more
of a disguise?
Ruse. Yeah. A ruse.
Because the superheroes barely cover their face a little bit. Maybe there's a mask. Maybe there's, you know, a pair of glasses. Superman. What kind of an idiots are they working at the Daily Planet? They call themselves journalists. He's wearing a pair of specs, you idiot. So, the very bad disguises that these people wear, at some point you are going to get rumbled. What you need to do, very much like Arrow did, where he gets himself in prison and someone else does an arrowy attack, and you go, it can't be me then, can it? What you want to do is you throw them off the scent, and by that, you say, yeah, okay, I'm a billionaire, and I hope that the scummy poor don't rise up like the big scummy bunch of poor people they are, the scum, and then everyone's going to think, well, he's no superhero, is he?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you know, the thing is, money cannot buy happiness. He clearly isn't laughing enough, and he's not sleeping enough either. It's keeping him awake at night.
You say he's not laughing enough. If I were a 7.5 billionaire making comments about the poor, I'd be finishing it with, mwahaha, and I'm not sure if that laughter is the same one that produces the endorphins and all that business.
Yeah, I think it's a different endorphin that releases.
That's a good point. So, you're worried about this.
Okay. I mean, he's a cranky billionaire.
Yeah, not getting any sleep.
He doesn't get sleep. That's not good.
This is a show for many people. We're not just here to represent the poor and the old people who can't reach the radio to turn it off. So I guess we should actually, as much as it's easy just to bemoan this person for mocking the poor, we should say, look, we're here for you. If you're a billionaire and you struggle to sleep at night because of all of the billions and the poor people who want to get your really hard-earned money, because that guy, I'm sure he's worked on every single gemstone that he sells.
Yep.
Ish, maybe. Or done some paperwork. The guy's done some paperwork.
He's had to get the blood off those gems is really difficult work. You've got to really get the elbow in.
It gets in the nooks of the crannies. So what can we do to help billionaires who can't sleep at night because of all the poor people? Well, we're joined by a sleep expert from the Sleep Council. It's Jan Turner. She'll be on the line. Hello.
And I certainly am. Hello there.
So here's what we're dealing with. We've got a lot of listeners who are billionaires, like the Cartier boss, can't sleep at night because of all the poor people. And the thing is, right, the amount of work he does, he needs a good night's sleep.
He does. That man, we all need a good night's sleep. But clearly he's going to be in a position to get himself a really fancy swanky bed.
Oh.
Because that's one fantastically good step he can take. Because if he's nice and comfortable at night, that's going to help him enormously. And we all know that the more you spend on a good bed, the better you're going to sleep. So he can do that. I mean, he's probably very bothered by all the technologies and emails and texts and
all
that kind of thing. That may keep him awake at night. Because we always say switch off all your devices and cut yourself off from, go cold and cut yourself off from all those messages and everything. That helps because, even just the sound of emails landing in your box or text, that can keep you awake, can't it? And that little blue light.
I've recently done that. My new thing is when I go to bed, I put I switch the Wi-Fi and the mobile data off my phone. So if someone needs me in an emergency, you can still call, but I'm not getting an email from, flipping Stansted Airport. You go there once, they email you every week. I'm not getting no emails overnight, and I think that helps me relax.
So that really helps. I mean, he could sit up if he's really struggling. He could sit up and write down all his worries on a piece of paper, or he could do something quite mundane like lie and count his money in his mind. It's always quite helpful, isn't it? Yeah, instead of counting sheep, count money, you know, the rest of them will stick with sheep.
He wakes up, he probably gets his assistant or one of his many assistants in and has them write down his worries. Probably has people who can write down his worries for him. He's got a whole division of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
a struggle.
It's not easy, is it? And, of course, it's always helpful to take a nice warm bath before you go to bed, and no doubt he'd be in a position to get lots of wonderfully unctuous potions to pour in it that might help. Lavender's quite good. Lavender's a natural sleep aid. So
By the way,
that's a good one.
First use of the word unctuous on the show. Well done.
Thank you.
You claimed it.
Did you like the way I slipped that one in?
Yeah.
Nice. Good. So keep regular hours. I mean, you know, is he a bit of a jet setter? Does he keep irregular hours? Because that can make it hellish if you're trying to get to sleep. The body does like a nice bit of routine. So regular hours, a nice sort of relaxing bath before you get into bed. And he should lay off his vintage wines.
I so thought you were going to say some of the workers. I thought that's where you were going to go with that.
You know, all those aged brandies, cask-conditioned ports, marvellous wines, not a good idea to have alcohol too close to bedtime either, because it might help you off to sleep initially. But it is just a fact that a few hours into the night, you will start to feel dehydrated, and that wakes you up and has you reaching for a glass of water. So
what you're saying is we should drink in the morning?
Well, early evening. Keep it to early evening, Big meals as well, late big meals. You say if he's wining and dining late, that isn't good, because that lies on his stomach and you wake up with indigestion, so that's not a great aid to sleep. And how busy is his personal gym? If he's exercising too late at night, that gets the old endorphins going, and you can't settle down after that either.
Oh, so you shouldn't basically drink in the morning, don't exercise. I'm starting to like this list.
Yeah, it sounds like a good lifestyle.
Well, don't exercise too close to bedtime, because it just wakes you up. You can kind of do it early evening, but after that you really, really do need to relax and lay off all the things that you might enjoy, like a drink or late night food, or if you smoke a cigarette. All those things really, really get in the way of a good night's sleep.
Looking at this list that you're giving us, Jan, it makes me wonder, why would I bother being a billionaire if I can't do any of these nice things?
I know, it's tough, isn't it? It's a tough one.
Yeah, maybe I won't be a billionaire then.
And steer clear of the caffeine as well.
What?
Yeah, coffee, now, that's not a good one. Too close to bedtime.
I'm glad
or tea.
We've got, as an expert, I'm glad I get to speak to you. Here's the deal. How long does caffeine stay in your system? Because a friend of mine, who by no way are they a doctor, but I believe them, said that the caffeine stays in your system for 24 hours. So if you have coffee at all, it's always going to affect your sleep.
I'm no expert on caffeine, but certainly they say don't have any past mid-afternoon, don't they?
Oh, mid-afternoon.
Yeah, if you start having it late afternoon, early evening, that can play havoc with your sleeping patterns.
I've started to worry a little, because I do love coffee, and so I tend to drink coffee all through the day, but sometimes I struggle with my sleep, and I've been starting to have valerian tea.
Right.
Am I on the slippery slope of uppers and downers, and the next thing you know, I'm dead like Elvis?
I think inevitably you're going to be dead like Elvis.
I think you might have a way to go on that one. But that sounds like a good step. Milky drinks are still a good one. It's very sort of granny-ish, but it's just a fact that a nice milky drink is very comforting at night as well.
Oh, that's nice. How does the valerian tea work? This is really new in my life. I saw a box of it in a shop, and I'll have a crack at that. And it makes me slur my words, which means I regret drinking one just before the show. But it properly knocks me out. What's in it? How does it work?
I'm no expert. Not my bag, if you know what I mean. But I do know it's one of the things they recommend that you have. Sort of herbal teas, anything that's caffeine free, really. Yeah. But it's important you enjoy it too. If it's a bit of a trial to drink it, then that's not going to last long, is it?
I was going to say, have you ever had one?
No.
You should try it, because the tea bag, when you finish with it, is just the slimiest, bleh, and it tastes horrible.
You're not supposed to eat the tea bag.
You're not? Okay.
No.
But no, it's a hideous drink. But
I'd go back to the Ovaltine if I were you.
No, probably that's a good idea. Just knock me out. It's such a potent thing that knocks me out that I think if I poured some of it on a handkerchief, you could do that chloroform thing that they do in films.
That's anyway. One way to go to sleep. Is, would you recommend chloroform?
That's a bit extreme, possibly, but it probably works.
I might try it on this Cartier boss when I visit, when I break into his house in the middle of the night to take my revenge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's going to lay us off and replace us with robots. So as a sleep expert, Jan, how many hours a night? And this is such a personal question that I ordinarily would never ask a lady. How many hours of night hours at night do you sleep?
I'm not the world's best example because I probably struggle a little bit with sleep, and I get if I do 6 to 7 hours, I'm quite happy. I think I've done really well, and most people do need at least 6 to 7 hours to function properly, because if you've had a good night's sleep, you really do feel at your best the next day, and you're going to perform so
six
much better than if you're feeling.
Doesn't seem like a lot though, Sid. I think if you get in 6 hours a night, Jan, what you need, you need to make sure your mattress is all right. Because if you have you've got to spend on a bed because it's important. You get one of those tempura ones, and then also make sure you turn your devices off. That would be my advice to you, Jan.
Definitely.
And don't exercise.
Well taken, a point well made, if I might say so.
Jan from the Sleep Council, Jan Turner. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Have a good day.
Good night.
Just good night.
I like that she was getting faded out as she said that. Good night. The thing, my takeaway from that is no exercise in the bedroom, which not a problem.
Nailing it. Or actually, well, yes, if you'd like to get in touch with any of these stories, 0330-223-0200, tweet at FUBAR Radio. We're into the final hour next, so things will get sillier. Then that phone call, maybe not.
Some news with Stephen Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Hello, I'm Stephen Allen, that's Eric McIlroy, and welcome to Some News on FUBAR Radio. I think the show that some people are describing as the best show on radio.
At this time and on this station.
Those people who are describing it as such are probably us. But that does not negate the point. Dave Grohl falls off a stage like an idiot and breaks his leg, but still carries on with a little bit of singing, but maybe ruins people's lives, because some of the tweets about if Foo Fighters cancel their gig, I will somehow find a way to explode a nuclear device in the centre of the Earth, because there is no point having a planet if there is no Foo Fighter gig in Wembley soon.
I know. It's difficult for me to talk about.
Everything seems to be difficult for you to talk about today. Anything using the English language. If you'd like to get in touch with bones that you've broken, as we are compiling our skeleton of listeners' broken bones, tweet at FUBAR Radio and call 0330 223 0200. Dino's on the line. What can we pop you down for?
You can put me down for two scapulars.
Shoulder blades?
Yep.
Ooh, ouch. How did you break your shoulder blades?
I fell off a mountain.
That'd do it. Why were you trying to ride a mountain? Well, you were naked at the time. That does not go
down well.
I
was indeed. I was climbing up Mount Olympus to see the old gods, and they got a bit pissed with me and threw me off.
Do you know that,
or my little brother pushed me backwards off a cliff.
Yeah, if you'd have said toss me off, then that would have been so.
Toss me off would have been so much better.
Yeah, we knew that was the perfect end to most things.
Right, do you want other broken bones as well?
Yes, please.
Left wrist.
All right. Oh, I think we've got a wrist on the list already. All right. What else? You got?
Okay. Two little toes on my left foot.
You've got two little toes on your left foot.
I have now, because I broke them when I was 11 when I fell off a motorbike, and they have never grown since.
Oh, freaky.
Yeah. Left ankle.
Oh, left ankle. That's good for the list. Yeah.
Both knees.
Oh, so you've done your patellas as well. What happened with your knees?
35 years of karate is not good for you.
Is it not? So did you? Well, you broke knees in karate?
Yeah, you need somebody in the face enough.
then I would recommend not doing that.
I've done both my elbows as well.
Oh my days!
Fractured skull.
It's a miracle you're alive. Are you actually just a brain in a jar right now?
To be honest, I'm not even in a jar. I'm just sort of laying on the side, slobbering.
You'd probably break the jar the way you're going. All right, cheers for the call. You can get in touch on 0330 223 0200. Oh, you're a black belt, Amanda. Is that karate? Karate, which I believe is the French form. I'd rather not in public. No one knows what you're saying, do they? So I'm responding to. I'm doing puns should off I the do, back of things.
Should I do like a low mumble when you say, when you talk to her? I'll just go.
Why don't you channel her? Why don't you channel her? Right? Let's imagine
it's
I'm speaking.
Karate!
is Eric. If you just get in the zone, right? it's a man because I should explain. We can hear the talk back in the headphones. So you're now going to use this to spiritually channel Amanda. Can I speak to Amanda? Is she there?
Yes, I'm here.
So what? That's an amazing impression. So what kind of karate was it that you did?
It's karate.
He can't actually remember what it was. You need to tell him in his headphones again.
I wasn't listening. I can't hear her in my headphones. You can hear her?
Oh, so you can't hear her in the headphones?
I can't hear her.
Am I the only person who can hear you? Do you exist? I'm not sure about this. All right. Channel through.
It's still Sam as our producer.
Yeah, that's weird.
There is no Amanda.
There's no, yeah.
I didn't know you could hear her.
Yeah, I can hear her. So we do it the other way around. Let me just get in the...
So, Amanda.
Yep.
Yes.
What sort of karate do you do?
Shotokan.
What can you show
And
me?
This is why we don't leave you to do the improv-y puns.
Shotokan.
Shotokan. That was the one. There we go.
Oh,
sweet
dear.
Mercy. Oh, my question was going to be, Amanda, have you ever broken a knee on someone's face? Did you go for a lot of the knee face? Did that... You never hit anymore. You weren't allowed to contact them. Well, I mean, it's their fault for giving you their mobile number. You see where I was going. That's how that works.
I like this kind of radio where you have a chat to someone and we can't hear the responses.
Hey, I'm
you
not
continue
the only.
To respond I'm as if we can hear them. It's good. It's very listenable.
Let's put it this way. I'm not the only Steve Allen who wastes airtime having a conversation with a producer. So what we're doing,
Amanda's laughing at that. No one else gets it either, but that's fine because you know what? You just took her a step towards happiness.
There we go. Oh, let's not. Okay, what HR? What's the next story?
iOS 9 iPhone will now track sexual activity.
Say what?
Woo-hoo! That's why I don't go Samsung. Apple's iPhone will now let people track exactly how often and when and how they have sex. That's right.
I'll press pause on this.
Having sex with your iPhone.
Having sex with your iPhone. Who needs a phone to remind them of when they were having sex? If you can't remember when you're having sex, you're making lifestyle choices that are not safe.
No, it could be that it happened so long ago you can't remember.
So is it backwards compatible? So you can log into your Google Calendar and it'll go like, remember back in... Like,
remember 95? Those condoms that just expired. You need that alert as well so that you've got that warning on there. Oh, throw that box away. Another one.
So why does your iPhone track your sex?
I don't think
it's... Was it like the motion detector? You put it on your... Do you rest it on your lower back and it'll tell you how much...
Well, because, yeah, mine does track the steps that I walk.
Right.
And then I could try and... Because my wife thinks I'm on my phone too much anyway. So, but if I said that it was to track my steps, because that's what I call it, stepping towards the love.
So I've got the Android phone has the pedometer on it as well these days. And you know you meant to do, is it 10,000 steps a day? And the other day, it gives me the alert. It goes, bing, congratulations, you've achieved your 10,000. Like, no way, how that? Wow, looks like I am pretty darned healthy. And then I noticed when I was on the tube again, I was on, you know, in the tube, sorry to be London-centric, but when you're in the middle of a tube carriage, you don't bounce as much as when you're on the end. And I was sat at the end, and because the carriage is going up and down, I saw my pedometer was just racking them up. So I'm healthy. You're healthy if you sit on the end of the tube.
Is that why you've been bouncing all day today?
That little bouncy motion. So if you put your iPhone on your back when you're, you know...
Yeah.
Although it'll fall off, depending on which position. Let's not do that. But, yeah, so it can track you that way. Is that how it does it? Or do you have to input your info?
I don't know.
Click. They can enter information on whether protection was used. I guess, yeah. Although you could just take a picture and it'd be able to scan that. As well as the date and time.
And just, yeah, put that in there. And then maybe you could have, like, a reminder. It's like, beep, time to have sex again. That'd be handy.
That would keep the romance alive, wouldn't it? It's a health tracker feature, apparently. Users will then be able to see the data represented on a graph because nothing makes it romantic like a graph.
More than a graph. I mean, you know, I have to say, it'd be interesting to have to try because, I mean, this one thing that did happen to me this weekend is I temporarily misplaced my beautiful, beautiful iPhone.
Damn.
And it fell out of my pocket and it was not where I was back within 3 minutes and it was gone. So
what were you doing those 3 minutes? Was that sex. No wonder it didn't log it.
I would have been back
sex
sooner.
Twice. Yeah. Yeah.
But I had my iPad with me, and because I am very brand focused. But and I logged. I was outside the Starbucks. I logged on, and I went on to the Find My Phone.
Oh.
And it shouldn't really be Find My Phone. It should be more like Find My Phone walking away from me, because I was able to watch my iPhone move east across London, as I was not moving east across London. And
so you need a second iPhone so you can then track it.
Because I couldn't then, because that was for someone, I mean, it might have been you, I think. Couldn't it you was. Just follow the guy?
Yeah.
But I was piggybacking off the Starbucks Wi-Fi, so because I don't have a SIM card in my iPad.
So if you walked past a lot of cafes, you could have logged into the Wi-Fi.
Just gone along and then maybe tracked the guy. But it turned out it wasn't stolen. It was someone who was conscientious enough to pick it up and take it home with them. But if they'd just been conscientious enough to stand there for another 30 seconds, they could have just handed me back my phone.
I suppose he wasn't to know that you were going to come back 3 minutes later.
He found the phone outside of the Starbucks.
Yeah.
And you could have thought maybe to say to the Starbucks people, oh, I just found a phone here. Just, you know, and then assume that, no, I mean, you know, I have to touch base with my phone every, I mean, it didn't take me, I mean, 3 minutes is a long time for me to go without.
To go without
that. So, I don't know. But
so the thing is, you've got this app on your phone that tracks your sexual activity.
Mm.
This guy had your phone for a day or so.
And he did have sex with my wife.
Oh.
So that was...
Looking at this readout, he did very well.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of annoying.
What the heck is
that? She's not talking to me right now. But
the good news is she had his phone number for at least a day.
But she still has his phone number. Where? You know, I haven't seen her for a few days.
You do the diet app as well, don't you?
Do the diet app?
Was he eating more calories than you and loving it?
He did more steps and lost more weight than I did. I gained a pound while I didn't have my phone because I was so depressed. I binged because I couldn't count my calories, so I just crazy. I just started eating and I couldn't count them, and then I had a pie. Which has nothing to do with the sexual function of the app either.
Oh, not like in that film. Oh dear. Although apparently it does feel like that. Okay. So at some point this will come out on Android. So I look forward to that, because they're normally like a year. The next phone that comes out, the next time Samsung bring the phone out, they will have all of the iPhone features. Samsung will get sued for it, not me. I'll be able to use, you know, some secondhand sex app.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a secondhand app for sex, not an app for secondhand sex. Although.
I have noticed since I got the phone back from him that it doesn't vibrate as strongly as it used to.
No but, idea what that means. No idea what that means. We'll delve into some more. Anything else on this? Because you look like you've got some more.
I just wish that, because I mean, I thought he'd stolen the phone. So the fact that I was able to ping it and send it a message to say, please return my phone, and a little tear sign and everything else. I just, if he hadn't, I wish that I could have also then just sent him an electric shock and killed him.
Okay, well, that seems reasonable.
That's about right.
So what you
it?
Want is an app that means if you lose your phone, you can make it explode.
Yes, that would be... it's all about proportionality. And if the Cartier guy is worried about the zombie poor people, I can be worried about this dickhead who's found my phone.
Well, if there's an app like that, do tweet Eric. You can get him on at FUBAR Radio or call 0330-223-0200. Eric, who wants to blow up poor people. I think, was that the take-home message from that?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Good, whatever it is. And hello, I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. On the way, then, I guess we're talking, there's some more news to delve into, but there is something that is very much enjoyable about this show. Eric, you are formerly an American.
I'm still. Phil,
you can't. No.
Yes.
One or the other.
Yes.
No.
I go both ways. You cannot deny me that. Do not deny that. Don't take that one pleasure away from me.
But I don't mind that you now self-identify as a Brit.
Thank you.
Because it's 2015, and you can do that now. If there's one thing we've learned from this show, I mean, you do have to change your hair, but then you can pass for whatever you want. do you miss what happens in the crazy homeland of yours, America?
I mean, I still follow it a lot because the show that I'm doing for Edinburgh called My Imperfect Guide to
Do It. Speak picking, up.
Imperfect Guide to Picking the Perfect President at an Edinburgh festival near you.
What's the venue and time?
Bar 50, 1 p.m. every day.
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Thank you. I know you will. Much later on when we do our show at 11 o'clock at night in the same space. And your show before that, which is at
7:15. If you'd like to see what happens when I talk about the news, come along. Could you imagine such a thing? I need a new act.
Can't imagine.
Come along to see my Edinburgh show.
Yeah, but Steve and I were in the same room in the festival. But so I still kind of keep an eye out on what's happening in America. I keep my finger on the pulse.
Well, someone who also keeps her finger on her pulse, or another, I don't really know how that phrase works, is Mary, someone who can give us the latest, and we get to speak to her every week. She's on the line now. Mary, hello.
Hello.
What have you got for me from America?
Well, this is an excellent story. Also from California, so we're back on the West Coast this time.
Nice.
I will read you the headline, and then I will fill in the details. Marijuana cannon used to fire drugs over U.S. border seized in Mexico.
That actually should be used in war. That is great, isn't it? A marijuana cannon, you fire it.
There's a picture of it, and it looks exactly how you would think it would look.
Well, you say that, but I've got two. One of, in my head, I'm a little bit thinking of a trebuchet.
No, not really, no.
Oh, that's what they should do.
Let me fill in the details for you here.
Yeah.
Police on the border city of Mexicali say they have recovered a powerful improvised cannon used to hurl packets of marijuana across a border fence into California.
Now I'm thinking, you know, like those human cannonball things. Now I'm thinking one of those. Like that?
Not quite as big. It looks like a big section of PVC pipe. It says police told the Televisa network the device was made up of a plastic pipe and a crude metal tank that used compressed air from the engine of an old car.
All right, pneumatic cannon. Yeah, I like it. In war, it would be great. You can fire it at people. If it hits them, it knocks them out. Even if it doesn't hit them, they will then sit around and smoke it and be too lethargic to battle. This is the greatest step forward in military advances ever.
It's excellent. And it said they can fire packets of drugs that weigh as much as 13 kilos.
Wow.
But, you know, they confiscated one last week, and I'm sure it's the only one, because nobody else would have this idea, I'm sure. So
I like the idea. The only problem is sometimes you, in a cannon, this is a pneumatic one, so it doesn't work, but I was thinking, if you get an explosion at the back, which is normally how cannons work, then there would be, you know, some burning. But then again, you burn a little bit of marijuana, people nearby going to enjoy it even more.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win situation. But it reminded me of that old song, but this would be way more than one choke over the line.
Nice, look at that. Nice reference. Beautiful work.
Yes, but obviously this is a big blowback in the war on drugs.
Now, is this a pun on blow? What? Because that's cocaine, isn't it? Is this blow because of the cannon?
Whatever you want it to be made. No, a blow. You know, explosion, a blowback.
Right.
They're throwing the marijuana over the border. I, for one, think it's high time that something is done. Don't
you? Hi. You got all the puns in on this one. You got the word high in. We got blow.
Thank you. I do what I can.
That's excellent. Cheers for the update, Mary.
You're welcome, man.
Doing more puns than you these days, Eric. On to the next story. Antwerp now has text lanes for pedestrians who are glued to their mobile phones. The Belgian city of Antwerp has dedicated specific text lanes, similar to cycle lanes, for pedestrians who are glued to doing some texting. The walkways are marked with white paint. No matter, you're not looking down. And the signage, text walking lane, are designed to enable those on their phones, whilst texting or whatever, to walk without disrupting regular pedestrians. I love that idea.
It's interesting, but I did a little bit of digging on this.
Okay.
Because, you know, Antwerp is in Belgium.
You really researched the arse off this one, didn't you?
Yeah, deep research, deep in. And it's the Dutch part of the Belgium, because they got different than the French and the Dutchies.
Yeah, it's all foreign, though.
They don't have their own identity, much like myself. And basically, this text lane that they've come up with, actually text is an ancient Dutch word for twat. So they put people in twat lanes. That's what they are. There's people walk around on their mobile phones, not looking where they're going.
Bunch of texts.
That's what they are.
I don't know if you're joking about this or if that's serious.
This is deadly serious. When have I ever done a joke on this show?
You know what? It makes a good point. It makes a very good point.
But if I do try and tell a joke, I usually get the Jenner.
I think this is great. I must admit, it's something I do worry about. I like texting. The problem is, you're under such pressure. I mean, by the way, no one texts these days. It's the WhatsApps. It's the internet, blah, 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 all that business. And it's very difficult. You're trying to walk in a straight line. Someone's going to be in your way. Well, I originally used to live in Birmingham, and they had a one-way system. Mm-hmm. It was just outside one of the shopping centres, and it was always so busy they had a one-way walking system, and it was brilliant. It was there, white down the line down the middle, and you had to walk, because if there's one thing I'm in favour for, it's segregation. They separated us up, and that way everyone moved. Now, there is a risk that you're behind a slow walker, but at least no one's walking into you. Mm-hmm. That winds me right out when someone walks right. I mean, I'm 6'2". Pay some attention, don't walk into me. But if we're all lined in the same way, it's smooth. It's like watching iRobot where all the cars go vroom, vroom. It's like that. This is even better. That way, you can, as long as you don't walk into the person in front of you, which you'll be able to see before you actually have the collision, mm-hmm. we all walk in the straight line, we can pay attention to our phones and ignore society. It is the world I have been hoping for. Although it is in Antwerp. But other than that, I love it.
I just think, was that a one-way path out of Birmingham? Was it just one way?
Oh, it's distant Birmingham.
I don't even mind Birmingham that much, actually.
You can't say it, but you don't mind.
Birmingham, that's why. Never mind. I think people just need to pull their head out. Need to pull their head out of their ass and stop texting and pay attention to the real world around them.
But why?
Get out of their phones. Stop having sex with their phones and everything else with their phones and stop stealing my phone. And it just needs to end.
It makes no sense to me. You say people often do this. Oh, we're too obsessed with social media, with technology. Because it's good.
Yeah, when have I been too obsessed with technology?
You are surrounded by many screens there, sir. That's a good point. Everyone goes, oh, you know, you should spend more time with your family. How about this? How about my family needs to step up their game? Well, this is the brave new world we live in, where you're not just competing for my time because there is nothing else to do. My other options are the entire world of Twitter. So you better be more entertaining than Twitter if you want to get some FaceTime. And by that, I mean real time, not FaceTime, with me.
Yeah, because you don't have an iPhone, so you can't do FaceTime. So, what is the Android equivalent of FaceTime?
Video calling, isn't it? Just something like that.
Video?
Yeah.
Do you have that? Oh, maybe someday you'll catch up with us.
No, but we have it. It's just called. The weird thing is, if you accidentally press the video call button rather than the call button.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Can you do that with the iPhone?
You can press FaceTime and accidentally.
And then you're just like, oh, I'm just going to give him a call. And you just broadcast the side of your ear.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I love an earlobe.
every week. So what do you say? Are you not in favor of this? I thought we'd be on the same page here.
No, I think this is a horrific mistake. Why? Although you did point out one good thing, I think, about the Birmingham one-way system.
Yeah.
There was one satisfactory thing. But not only did it make most people go one direction, it gave you the chance to do what?
You could have a right go when someone's in your way.
Yeah.
Because you've got a valid reason. Someone
can
walks
you believe he's on the wrong side of the walkway?
Do you mind? There are painted lines here for a reason, my friend. That's how I do. If I'm going to be upset with someone, I do that.
You did that voice. So does that mean if you're in the texting lane, not texting, somebody can
get out, get Billy annoyed,
but they won't even see you because they're looking at their texts.
I'll excuse me, can I have your number? And I'll text them. Get out of my lane.
I just think...
You should see me when I'm on the C2C train quiet section. That one, every time. Right. They've got quite a lot of quiet coaches in on the C2C trains. And people seem oblivious to this. They start with the loud conversations on the phone. And because I am British, I am nothing shy of passive-aggressive about it. It is what I do, right? You know, like in the film Up, where the dogs see a squirrel. And they just like go, point, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm sat somewhere, right, imagine I'm someone on the phone. Oh, I'm on my phone in a quiet coach, but I've not noticed it's a quiet coach. Yeah, I'm a dick. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I go through life. Probably drive a BMW. I really am one of those people. Yeah, I'm a total tool. I sit somewhere near them, and then, right, imagine this is the sign for the quiet coach. I do this. Oh, look at me. I'm reading two words, and it says, it says quiet. I just keep pulling the face. Like, that don't make any sense, because it says quiet coach. But then you seem to be a dick.
And then they just keep going on.
They do keep going. Absolutely.
Yeah, this guy next to me is a bit mental. No, I don't know what's happening there. Yeah. No, I did mime a foam. I did mime the foam. I did mime.
I mimed a BMW, which was the weird thing. There's no need for that.
I was in Folkestone.
We'll start solving problems on the way next.
Some news with Steve Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Yo, so this is some news on FUBAR Radio, and check out the podcast. If you missed any of the show, I think today's one is definitely a podcast that you could listen to. You could have a look by, I think you Google, you search for some news on iTunes, you'll defo find it. Subscribe. And hey, seeing as you get to listen to it and hopefully enjoy it, maybe put some comments and some stars and things.
Please love us.
Hint. The newspapers aren't just filled with news. It's also an area where you can find there's probably a crossword, there's probably that rubbish horoscopy thing, and there's definitely the section where people write into national newspapers to try and get advice for their problems, because I have no idea why. There is no way to put the because at the end of that. Why on earth would you do it? It makes no sense to me. But we are willing to nick that as a concept and do it right here. So you can send us your problems. We will answer those and ones we find in the newspapers. Because if you want a proper, serious answer, you should ask two very tired comedians who might not have been on form today. Let's go into number one. Dear Steve and Eric, that's us. I have an embarrassing problem. Well, it's awkward for me and potentially very embarrassing for my boyfriend. I should take this point to point out that these are the words of the correspondent.
No, not mine.
We've been going out together for nearly 2 years. Things are great. In fact, we got engaged at Christmas. Clever. That way you don't need to worry about remembering another anniversary. Oh, clever.
But it's not an anniversary if you get an engagement,
yeah,
is
that
it?
Yeah, turns out for a while. Sex is good. We're back to the letter.
Woohoo!
Sex is good too, apart from one aspect of it. I can't stand his sex noises. They're such a turn-off. He kind of squeals, which is so unsexy, and not very manly either.
Squeaks.
Oh, squeaks. That's a good point. Oh, yeah, he squeaks. Oh, you're right. That's even worse. That's. Are we sure this is not one of those inflatable boyfriends? If he's like, that's not good.
I wish that. I mean, it's hard to diagnose this problem without hearing the sound.
Okay. I'll finish the letter and then we can write.
Okay.
How can I tackle this without putting a downer, literally, on our sex life evermore? Is the downer a bad thing in the world of sex? It seems like a
part. I think I'm going to suggest a creative solution to this.
Oh, okay.
Ball gag.
What, eh?
Ball, you know, like a ball gag.
Cover his balls.
Like no. A ball, you know, the you put the, like in Pulp Fiction.
It's like a snooker ball.
It's a rubber ball. And
is
you
it?
tie it up like a around the mouth. And then the ball from your mouth. The only problem with those is they make you drool. Don't ask.
But,
how I know that.
How?
I read about it or something. I saw it in a thing. They would stop that because if you're kind of a I guess that's a sort of squeaky.
I never wish to hear that sound again, but I would
imagine. That, I mean, well, what else could the squeak be? It's his joints. We don't know how old they are.
It's his joints.
Maybe they're in their 90s. People are living longer and
cod liver oil is the answer. Yeah.
WD-40.
WD-40 and glucosamine. So your impression of what this noise would be, let's just, you know, come with us on a journey through the mind, where Eric will portray the role of the person being sexed to, and he makes the sound.
Am I sexting? I'm confused.
You're the squeaker in this. Okay, you're the squeaker in this double act. That's not the first time someone said that.
It could be that's more of a wheeze, isn't it?
Yeah, so give it some proper squeak. Okay. Now mime, if you will, a ball gag, and I pray to God you've not brought one with you. Well, that's cured me of ever wanting sex again, and hopefully helped out this person.
I think gagging the person.
I suppose.
I mean, that's a way to, you know, just you might have to develop a new kink, but that way you don't embarrass them about it.
Yeah, but there's a part of me that just thinks, well, you maybe be grateful for the relationship. You're moaning about the fact that you make some odd noises. Earplugs. Or, you know, those big ear protectors that workmen wear. That's sexy. So slap that in.
Pretend like you want to be an air traffic controller. And, you know, like, I'm bringing it home, baby.
Paddles.
From paddles to kind of point down. You can't see this, but I'm paddling towards my what?
Unemployment. Oh, sorry. Right, yes. So what's letter number two?
Letter number two. Dear
Eric
and Steve.
Over to the very awake Eric McElroy.
I'm 21 and I can't stop lying. For
the
past few years, I've been telling people that I'm black. Oh, no, that's a different letter. That's a different letter. For the past few years, I've told people that my dad is a pilot. But the trouble with lying is, and this is the first joke, is that you have to then keep it up. That's not the only time you have to. Never mind. Last year, I met a lovely man, and we get on really well. We've been seeing each other for a few months, but I'm keeping him at arm's length because he thinks my dad is a pilot, and obviously he's not.
Obviously.
Because we live in Bromley. I'd already told a few people, a few of our mutual friends, the same lie. Now I don't know how to tell my boyfriend the truth without looking weird. I don't think weird is the right word. It's more like dishonest and a lying.
Yeah.
Manipulative. Anyway.
Ooh.
In the meantime, I can't even think about introducing him to my family because then he'll find out I've lied to him and all our friends. I don't know how to break this cycle. Can you please help me?
Bull gag.
What? For herself.
Yeah.
Or himself. Well, no, herself.
I mean, this is one of those, the problem has happened, it's too late to fix now, isn't it? The trouble with lying is that this person is right, that at some point it will catch you up. The best thing, new start. Dump all of your friends. Anyone you've told this lie to, cut them out of your life, start afresh with new... There are 7 billion people out there you can make new friends.
And then kill your boyfriend.
Oh.
Is that... Because then he won't find out about the lie.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to escalate at all.
Kill your father.
So...
I'm a little tired. I want to kill someone.
Good God, man. You're making this very dark.
Why the thing I'd love to know is why the lie in the first place? Why a pilot? Like, when I was trying to attract people, in general, I would think about lying about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm the successful blah, blah, blah.
I am a pilot.
Oh, hello. I don't squeak. And then, but why would you say, well, you're going to want to go out with me because my dad is a pilot?
Air miles.
Is that? I mean, but that's it. That's the only reason I could think of.
Extra hand luggage.
If you know what I mean.
That is the...
You want a little extra hand luggage?
That's the big deal these days, though. You know, with your budget airlines, they have more people on that flight than they can handle hand luggage from. Of, to, one of those prepositions. And if you are... You know, basically, you can get allocated seating on your budget airlines. You still have to queue up like a... thing at the front of that queue to get your hand luggage in. Otherwise, you have to check your hand luggage. I'm sorry, you better check your hand luggage before you wreck your hand luggage. That's what I say to them.
Yeah, but if I was going to lie, if I'm going to construct a fantasy world where my father does something more glamorous than whatever he does, I'm not going to say, my dad is a pilot.
I would think better of you if
EasyJet.
Oh, good point, I think better of you now. If all of a sudden I found out that your dad was a pilot, I'd be like, oh, damn, look at that.
But if I was going to lie about it, I wouldn't go EasyJet, Ryanair, JetBlue in America, all those kinds of things. I would try and go upscale. Right. I would do a little bit of, you know,
Aeroflot.
Lufthansa.
Oh. What? That would be quite the admission. This is what I think. When you've lied, if you think you can say to your boyfriend, it's going to look really weird, but actually, no, why don't you say your dad got fired?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I mean, is the dad complicit in this lie? Has he gone out and hired a pilot's uniform? Could she just get him to just lie?
Buy an
he could get his pilot's license. And then if she really loves him, if he loves his child, this little liar that he's raised, this little dishonest, horrible person, maybe that's... Or just say, I made a mistake. I got confused about what my dad did.
Confused.
And I meant to say garbage collector, and it came out pilot, because I got that speech impediment.
That one, yeah.
You could try that.
That's not a bad... Well, it is a bad answer, but it's the best we're going to do today. But if you have a problem and you'd like to know our take on it, if you've got a problem, we'll solve it. Check out the hook while our DJ revolves it. steve@foobarradio.com would be one way of getting it sorted.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
And we roll. You know, like when your car's been knocked out of gear and the engine has stalled and it just kind of... like that.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of a show, as hello, it's some news. I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. Amanda's back with us. Producer Amanda, how was it for you?
Well done.
Really?
I think that was a really informative show. I think we've helped a lot of people today.
Really?
Well, now we know the key, the secret to happiness.
I love the fact that you go the key, the secret. You are such a 90s
child.
Got the key. I got the secret.
I saw them live when they came and visited my university.
Is that the Urban Cookie Collective?
That's the one.
Eric's got no idea.
You missed out, Eric.
I don't think
it would make you happy if you.
Is it on the system?
The Urban Cookie? I doubt it, because everybody here that puts the music on is about 14. So when I ask for certain tracks, I often get a blank look.
I got the key. I got the secret.
Oh, my God.
I got
God.
The key to another way. I got the key.
Does that window open all the way?
Why did we not do this for the full show?
I'll have it for next week.
Beautiful.
What, the
open window?
You're not going anywhere. You will listen to it.
Wow.
All the way through with Steve and I singing.
Oh, boy.
But no, I think we've got the key and the secret to happiness and a good night's sleep.
I'm very impressed that phrase just comes out of you. You didn't deliberately place a lyric in there. It's just how you speak.
That's years in radio. You speak in music tunes.
I'm just trying to think the last time I actually heard that song.
It was last week, wasn't it? Don't lie.
I will probably download it today.
It's your ringtone.
Why not?
Yeah, well, good night's sleep if you are a billionaire scared of the little people.
Yeah, I mean, she actually painted quite a sorry picture of him, really. I kind of felt quite sorry for him.
I think, yeah.
You know, the emails. You know, worrying about all that money.
All that nice wine that he can't drink in the afternoon anymore.
Yeah.
It's rough.
So, you know, if you'd like to help out a billionaire, please, we are launching an appeal. Give whatever you can, but do give, because he'll probably take it, because that's how they get rich.
Yep, yep, and they won't give it back. But as we were saying, he could just try being a bit nicer as a person.
Yeah.
Maybe sort of, you know, giving to charity a bit. Maybe he does. Maybe, you know, maybe... He's a patron of several charities.
But his idea of the future is that workers will be laid off because computers will do it, and then the poor people, instead of just going about their business and starving to death, like, you know, natural selection should have them do, they'll rise up. Because, you know, billionaires have got all the money and there are more of us. So,
yeah, but the robots will kill them all. It's fine.
Oh, death robots.
Yeah.
Okay. So, actually, we need to work in IT to stop the death robots.
Not to be on the side of the death robots. They're inevitable.
No, I've got that planned.
Yeah.
So what else did we learn? So we've learned
my happiness bug. Thanks, guys.
We've managed that today. I don't know why we've both been quite the downer mood, but I've tried to fake it. Have I sounded happy? But you can feel on the my inner core is misery.
I knew you were faking it.
Whereas this guy over here, outwardly, just sounds like, what's wrong with life?
Folkestone, bad sound.
I think that's it, isn't it? Just he needs a milky drink and a feather pillow.
His last drink
and
was milkier than he thought.
And a good 8 hours. quite a few people have been tweeting in about their broken appendages as well.
Yes.
So quite a few clumsy listeners out there.
We didn't get all the bones.
We didn't, did
no.
we? We've got quite a long way to go there.
Then I realised, though, the reason it's 206 is because they count the vertebrae individually, don't they?
Oh, so that would be something, wouldn't it, if we had to check which vertebra?
Yeah, and also what a radio phone-in that would be. I was really stupid when I thought, what a great idea, let's make a skeleton out of bones. If we just had like an array of 30 callers going, yeah, I broke my spine, eventually it would not have been good radio. So I'm
eventually,
yeah.
Not initially.
Once worked with a presenter, and I had to work on Christmas Day with him, and yeah, that was a challenge in itself, but one of the ideas he came up with was an A to Z of listeners, and I said, what does that comprise of? And he said, well, if their name begins with an A,
brilliant,
ring us and tell us your name begins. And so they literally just ring up and say, hi, my name's Amanda. Yes,
and there's no story behind it.
There's nothing. And then I said, so what if we get to F and nobody's rung in, but we've got a G and an A? What do we do then? Do we have to wait for an F, or do we just go around and then, you know, have to come back to it? And he got really uppity with me because that was the third idea of his that morning that I'd poo-pooed.
Oh, so it was morning? Because that sounded like more of a late-night radio presenter, the idea of
it
doing
was
things.
Christmas Day. They would, you know, basically would have had anybody on. And it was a three-hour show as well.
Wow.
It was a three-hour show.
We're doing that next week, by the way. A to Z of listeners.
No, we don't want to copy that idea. Let's do an A to Z of listeners' pets' names.
Okay, why not? There we go.
What about that?
A to Z of parking tickets. People love talking about parking fines as well.
Dangerous dogs, parking fines, and something to do with Europe. A to Z of the three... sweets.
Sweets?
Sweets that you remember from your childhood. Give me a call
why
now.
Not?
A to Z of easy radio phone-ins. We should do that. There's a radio thing I do elsewhere. I'm trying... I like callers, but there's a guy who calls in... and he will turn any phone-in topic into the most morbid thing ever. So basically, if this guy can call in and give a story about someone he knows who's died, he will do it. And so it's a fun, light show. And I think last week I was doing this. It would have been useful here, but it was about times when you've been injured and carried on. I can't remember which news story it was about, but I was like, so give us time. There's been an injury. You've not let it bother you. Give me a call now. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And he calls in. Hello, Steve. Well, I was a trade driver and I hit a bloke.
Oh.
And I was like, mate, what? I'm not going to put this call on air. Why? Every week we're calling. Well, I just, there was something like, who would
Is
you have?
Frank Spencer.
I did a call in with some, who would play you in a film? I don't know why, some stupid reason. And he could, I think I'd like name of actor to play my friend Daniel because he died. Well, this is not even answering the question, but you've managed to get death into it. So in comparison, this show has been very happy. Actually, yeah, it's been a happy show.
Even with Eric.
Even with
today.
Eric.
That's always a nice phrase to hear. Even with Eric.
Should we do a definitive word? I've worked out a couple of things.
We should write down even with Eric, which actually, if I'm not here and they do the show, it should be rebranded as even with Eric. Get the jingles made. But yes, so a definitive word. What have we got?
Okay, so did you hear about the comet probe that has woken up? The fillet?
Fillet.
Fillet. Mm-hmm.
Which means no bones in that probe.
Good. Well, it's made three... There's literally nothing I could say to that. It's made three short contacts of about 10 seconds yesterday. So, obviously, I want to know, if you had a probe, where would you send it?
Well, I'd like to send
say
it...
I don't have a probe.
I'd like to send it to a grave because someone died. The sun. Do we know enough about the sun? I'd like to know more about the sun. Or the moon. I don't know the difference. One of them.
The sun or the moon.
Yeah.
I think we know quite a lot about the moon, though, don't we, in relation to what we know about the sun.
How about the Van Allen belt? I like it because it has my name in it. I don't know what it does.
Okay, Eric. Where's your probe going?
To my ex's house? No, I don't know. That just seemed like a semi-probe.
You should never be allowed a probe. You know, like... You strike me as a kid. You probably got a magnifying glass and burnt some ants. If we give you a telescope, you would wipe out the ants of an entire area.
Dead ants.
Okay, you should call in that other show I do with some death. Yeah.
One more, very very quickly. A species of spiders previously thought to have been wiped out in the UK has been spotted for the first time in over 100 years. I'm not even going to begin to try and pronounce the name of that one. So I'm just going to move on to the question: what do you think will no longer exist in 100 years from now?
Ooh, 100 years. Which animals?
Or not necessarily animals. Just what things do you think will not exist?
My career. Oh no, us. Well, obviously. Oh,
well, yeah.
Deaths.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Real.
Actually, I will because I'm going to get a body transplant. I'm just going to keep my head going. Just body to body to body. Just keep it rolling down.
With that level of enthusiasm, yeah, why not? Why not?
Because after I kill the Cartier guy and take his money. Okay, I shouldn't have said that on the air.
You did say that out loud. You just said that out loud.
The Rolex guy. No.
You would not have the umph to kill any billionaire at the moment.
I've been working with the Bromley Batman, and he and I are going to take him on.
Maybe money won't exist in 100 years'
That's
time.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because I watch Star Trek, and they don't have money there. They seem all right with it.
They don't have pockets.
That's why they don't have money.
Got nowhere to keep it.
Was that your problem with that? This Star Trek is not real. They don't have pockets.
Where do they keep their keys? Keys won't be around.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you go to Travelodge, they give you a card, don't they?
Aim higher, Amanda.
I quite like Travelodge.
You strike me as the kind of person that the Travelodge card. You do a lot of Travelodging.
I don't do as much as I'd like.
You would lose your poop if you went to a hotel I went to where the key ring has a little magnetic bottom and you just put that against the door, unlocked.
Shut up.
Boom! Although you
eventually,
still need...
you just put the magnet in your bottom and then... Don't look at me like that.
That is the perfect end to the show.
Is it?
Thank you very much.
A magnet
Nobody
in
can
your bottom.
Top that.
Thank
pleasure,
you.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Do you want to just repeat that phrase one more time?
A magnet in your bottom.
Some news with Steve Van Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.